parallel line into the city. The Syrian army is simply shelling a city of cold, starving civilians.
A French photojournalist also was killed in Homs. The UN watchdog group charged with investigating Iran's nuclear ambitions returned empty-handed. The team from the International Atomic Energy Agency spent 2 days in Iran but failed to reach agreement with the government on how to verify that Iran's nuclear program really is peaceful. Former Defense Secretary William Cohen says the increasing tensions between Iran and Israel could lead to devastating consequences.
We might, in fact, see a precipitous action being taken either by the Israelis or by the Iranians, unleashing untoward consequences. People can't even really comprehend the full scope of what those consequences would be.
The Treasury Department's expected to unveil President Obama's corporate tax reform plan today. He's called for ending tax breaks for companies that outsource jobs overseas and lowering taxes for U.S. businesses that create jobs at home. The Supreme Court set to hear oral arguments today surrounding a case where a man who ran for office in California lied about his military record. Javier Alvarez said he served in the military and received a Medal of Honor. At issue is the constitutionality of the Stolen Valor Act, which makes it a crime to falsely represent oneself as having been awarded military honors. CNN senior legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin believes the court won't uphold this law.
I think the court is going to overturn this law. They are really very protective of free speech.
Another Republican presidential debate tonight, this one hosted by CNN and the Arizona Republican Party. This is CNN Radio.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
How do our corporate tax returns look, Norman?
Not good, Mr. Fernwell. We owe $12.8 billion.
Impossible! I'm calling Bob from Accountants.
Good idea, sir. You think he can loan us the money?
Bob's a corporate tax whiz, Norman. Knows it all. State, federal. He'll straighten this mess out.
Meantime, I've got money to raise. How about I wash your car for you?
What?
I'll even buff it with a soft chamois. How's $175,000 sound?
Call Accountants for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountants, a Robert Half Company.
As tablet computers get ever more popular, makers of traditional PCs get squeezed. Dell is reporting a 2% drop in sales to consumers over the holiday quarter as more people opted for tablets. Also crimping Dell sales, supply problems, especially a shortage of hard drives from Thailand, hit with floods late last year. After reporting an 18% drop in profit and a downbeat forecast, Dell watched its stock fall 5% after hours. If all goes well, Google hopes to usher in the biggest boost to couch potatoes since the remote control, a technology that would allow you to turn your TV on and off, change channels, play and rewind programs, even search for your favorite shows and movies, all by voice. It would be part of Google TV software. Los Angeles Times says other companies also are working on similar technology, including Samsung and Apple. Stock markets in Asia, for the most part, gained today. European stock markets are lower. S&P futures down 1, NASDAQ futures down a quarter point. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
Last week, I started a meeting on my office computer. I had to go across town for another meeting. So Mike drove, and I was able to finish my WebEx meeting using the WebEx app on my smartphone. This is how you do business.
Connect online and share what's on your computer screen with others. Anytime, anywhere. On their desktop, on their laptop, or mobile device. Go to WebEx.com right now and try WebEx free. WebEx from Cisco. WebEx.com.
Thank you for calling Bank. Our banking hours are Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m.
You have reached Bank. Please call back during our normal business hours.
Welcome to hours on Monday through Friday.
It is after 5 p.m. We are closed. Hi, thanks for calling Ally Bank. How may I help you?
If your bank doesn't have a real person available 24/7, you need an ally. Ally Bank. No nonsense. Just people sense. Member FDIC.
On my journey to help save people money on car insurance, people have been really surprised to learn that GEICO can also help with renter's insurance. They're even more surprised when I tell them it costs as little as $12 a month. But perhaps what's most surprising is that I still live with my mum. Yeah, I know, I really should start thinking about renting my own place. But then I'd have to get my own tea kettle, sofa, shower curtain, soap dish.
Visit Geico.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
You hear so many ads for gold, but they raise more questions than they answer. That's why American Bullion has created a comprehensive free gold guide packed with unbiased information about gold as an investment. Get the facts before you buy. Learn all about gold IRA rollovers. Call American Bullion now for your free copy of the gold guide at 800-897-9664. 800-897-9664. AmericanBullion.com. 800-897-9664.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And good morning, everybody. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Pleasure to be with you. I need to adjust my headphone volume a little bit. Great, great, great. 6 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, the 22nd day of February 2012. We do not have a busy day today. Indeed, we do not have a busy day today. Although we have three guests and three great guests. Of course, Occupy Detroit will be with us. That's one of the three. Steve Losey, who is a candidate in the 51st House District. And some are considering a must-win for the Democrats. Others are saying there's no way a Democrat can win the seat. It is the seat that will replace Paul Scott, the now infamous Paul Scott, the last legislator to be recalled in many, many years. So we'll look forward to that. Stephen Henderson, of course, joins us just after 8 o'clock, as we missed him last week. But we've got him back this week, so I'm very excited about that. So there's just plenty to get to, but not a lot of guests. So we will not be insane. In fact, I don't even have a lot of articles in front of me. It may look like I do if you're in the studio, but I don't. There's not a lot of stuff here. So I'm hoping that means that we'll have some time to spend together. And you're always, of course, welcome to join us. Let's go ahead and get it started.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Failure, like as in failure is not an option. That's what I mean. I don't mean that we are failing, because I don't believe we are. In fact, I think we are gaining. We're gaining on them, I tell you. We're gaining on them. I feel good about that. But failure is something that we need to be mindful of. I don't want to just focus on success. I don't want to be Pollyanna-ish about this. And say, hey, we just need to look at all the good things that are happening in our world. Now, that's, which is fine, and we do need to do that. Don't take that the wrong way. But, you know, we need to be mindful if we're not careful. Failure can creep up and bite you in the ass, and it hurts. I know, I've failed many times. It's important, I think, that when we frame whatever it is that it is, that we're framing, as we work very, very hard to put together the framework, again, of our lives, that we keep in mind that failure is as much a part of our story as successes. And none of us, there isn't a one of us that has been successful that hasn't, at some level, tasted failure. And it tastes like crap. But it's part of the process. You got to go through it. And we've had enough failure, by the way. If we're talking politics, we've had more than our fair share. So let's focus now on success. But let's always be mindful. Always be mindful that failure could actually be the very next decision you make. So keep that all in mind. And that is today's first word, failure. Certainly no failure in any way, shape, or form, is our producer, Jeff Radford. In fact, quite a successful young man, I would say. And good morning to you, Mr. Radford.
Well, good morning. How are you?
Fine. Why aren't you full of vim and vigor this morning?
That's what I came with. I woke up and I had a bottle of vim and then a bottle of vinegar sitting next to the bed, so I just mixed them together and here I am.
So vim in one bottle, vigor in the other. Mix. Did you shake or stir?
Stirred.
Okay. Well, stirred. Now we know what your formula is for success. No failure for Jeff Radford. Thank you very much.
Yeah, let's hope not, anyway. Well, especially not in my quest to find a punschke yesterday.
And did you find it in the building, or did you have to go buy one?
Bought one and also found one. Found one and bought.
So you had more than one.
Yeah, that's the story I wanted to tell you. I not only did I have more than one, I had more than two. I bought four, and found one. I had five punschkes yesterday.
Are you serious?
Five punschkes. Yes, I did.
You ate five punschkes.
Yeah,
do you know how many calories the average punschke has?
Why don't you tell me?
About 450.
Yeah, these ones. I'm serious.
They were healthy. They were right. They were the prune ones.
They work. They were made out of spinach and good things. No, one of them was a 450 calorie. I have no doubt about it. It was, you know, you could tell it was it was a heavy one. It was it was a true punschke. The other four that I had bought were parading. They were masquerading as a punschke. They were basically jelly-filled donuts, basically. That was it.
All right.
So, but I had to eat them anyway because I bought them, you know.
Well, you did. You wouldn't want them to go to waste.
No, exactly. So I measured it. What I figured it out to be is I had around 1,800 calories in punschkes yesterday.
Which for you is outrageous.
Is a day's worth of food, right?
Actually, for you, that's probably more than a day's worth of food. Well, good. I mean, I didn't... I can't speak for Anthony, but I'm going to guess that he didn't have a punschke. If he did, he didn't do it around me.
I don't get the... There's a concentrated effort of hating on punschkes. Like every time I tune into radio, it's overrated and they're so gross and so many calories. It's one day a year, people. Like, have your punschke and enjoy it.
Yeah, and first of all, wait a minute here. They're overrated. A, they're not overrated if it's a real punschke. Now, see, you had both the fake punschke and the real punschke, so you know they're not overrated, right?
Okay. Yeah, both of them, by the way, very delicious.
I'm glad to hear that. So they are delicious. Yes, they are in excess of calories and fat grams that you shouldn't normally inhale, but that's okay. It's a one-day-only thing. People, chill. Chill. We certainly didn't badmouth punschkes on this show yesterday. And in fact, at one point, Jeff peeked his head under the studio and said to me, I'm looking for a punschke, and there was a guy in the building that's got a box. I'm waiting for him to set it down on the table, and he's not doing it.
No, I was on the hunt. You're right. I was spying him out. And there's a table where once something hits that table, you know about the table, Tony.
Yeah, I knew. I did.
As soon as something hits that table, it's fair game. And I was just waiting, and he was hovering above the table, but then he took him back to his office, I guess.
You know what I find interesting about that table? There's no sign. There's no explanation. Nobody ever tells you this is what this table is for. Yet somehow everybody figures it out.
Oh, yeah. It's just known. It's like written in code.
I mean, sometimes there are books there.
I was just going to say, it's not always food. It's sometimes it's the craziest stuff.
Right. I've seen some pretty wild stuff there.
In fact, I just, the other day, I picked it up. I don't know what I did with it, so I didn't use it or try it. But this is one of the craziest things I've seen on the table. Is a Breathe Right strip, box of Breathe Right strips.
It ended up on top of the medicine cabinet right outside your studio. If you look on top of the medicine cabinet, that's where they're at.
Oh, okay.
But I saw them there, and I was like, okay, what the hell are these doing on the It's All Fair and Love and War table?
I've never tried a Breathe Right strip, so I thought, maybe, you know. So I picked one up, but I don't remember what I did with it.
Well, it's on top of the, if you still want one, it's on top of the medicine chest right outside the studio you're sitting in as we speak.
Have you ever tried one before?
I have.
Do they really help?
No, they do not.
Okay, so it just makes your nose look silly.
Pretty much, but of course, you know, most people wear them when they go to bed so that they don't snore. So nobody really sees them except your significant other, because you wouldn't wear them if you didn't have a significant other, if you were sleeping alone, because then who would care if you're snoring, right?
True.
You know, it's,
but weren't they marketed initially for athletes, like, you know, breathe better while you're playing, and then they realized, yeah, wait a minute, let's go to the snoring market instead.
Yeah. I don't know that. Listen, I don't even know that the science backs up what they claim that they do. I'm sure that it does to some degree, but how necessary are Breathe Right strips? Just a question. I will throw it out there. Anyway, that's the legend of that table, of the many things that can end up on that table. Breathe Right strips, an off-brand, or maybe even a generic brand, if I recall, of Breathe Right strips ended up on that table. There's been a book sitting in my studio for over a week now, so I set that on the It's All Fair and Love and War table yesterday, and it disappeared.
I know. It's a magical table. It really is. You put anything out there, and someone will take it. That's
well, I'm not even sure I should have put the book, but it'd been sitting in here for over a week, so I thought, you know, if this belonged to somebody, it would be gone, right?
Well, chances are that whoever wanted or needed the book probably walked by the table and was like, wait a minute, that's where I left that book.
Well, I hope so, because if somebody was looking for that book and they came in here to get it, they wouldn't find it as of yesterday. It's just one of those things. I like a clean studio. And as you know, Jeff, often the studio does not get cleaned, unfortunately, especially on Mondays. Mondays, the studio is a mess. Don't know why that is, but it's a mess in here. Anyway, Red Wings lost last night, and before we get to the break here, and we're up against it, Red Wings lost last night in Chicago. You think there's any controversy, goaltending controversy brewing, because they're at home tomorrow night, Jeff, and the streak's on the line?
I know. That's why I said make sure he starts on the road at first. But I'm confident now. I like get your one bad game out of the way. Get acclimated. And actually, you know, a 2-1 loss isn't detrimental. 5-0. They lost 5-0 to the Blackhawks. And I'd be like, okay, maybe we don't trust him with the streak just yet. But you know, it's a tough team, Chicago, on the road. So feel confident.
All right, well, let's take a break. We got a lot to get to, and we'll get to it all. Feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. On Twitter at Tony Trupiano, and our Twitter family is growing by the day. All right, we'll take the break. First shift will continue on 1310 WDTW after we take this quick break.
First shift with Tony Trupiano.
I'll pay higher taxes. I look at it this way. I can pay higher taxes and people can have jobs, or I can pay lower taxes and I have my kid's teacher asking me for a loan because she's going to lose her house, which is true.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Black ice on the freeways and surface streets, creating a bit of a mess out there on the roadways. Southbound 75 after Sachembaugh, we have an accident there. Blocking the left lane, left shoulder block southbound after Joslin. 96 westbound at Wixom, we have an accident there. Eastbound at Milford and at Beck, we have two different accidents there as well. Those are just a few of the many accidents we have around the area right now. I'll rush with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, a chance of showers before noon. Then that will switch to rain and snow showers a little bit later on. Mostly cloudy, a high in the lower 40s tonight. A chance of snow showers mainly before midnight. Mostly cloudy, a low around the freezing mark. Then tomorrow, a chance of snow in the morning. Then that will switch to rain and snow in the afternoon. High in the mid to upper 30s. Right now it's overcast and 37 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, It's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
I've got an article in front of me that says foreclosure settlement total to state up to almost $800 million. And Curtis Hertel Jr., who is the Register of Deeds in Hingham County, joins us now. Let's talk about what this particular settlement is about.
What it has to do with is the some of the improper practices in the servicing of mortgages and selling of mortgages in the mortgage industry. It's only with the five major banks, which is a reduction from the rumored settlement that was supposed to include MERS and their actual document mills. And that's a good thing, actually. Also, there's no criminal immunity in this, so it only actually limits what states can actually sue for. Yeah, I'm not saying I support the settlement because, you know, in many ways, the devil's in the details. And until we actually figure out exactly what teeth are in the settlement and everything that's included, there's a lot of questions to be asked. But I do want to say there are some positive things, and this does not mean our fight's over.
First Shift with Tony Trivia on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet. Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 6 o'clock, a booyah morning here on the First Shift radio program. Shout out to Will this morning, a good friend of Anthony's who's listening on iHeartRadio, which is awesome. One of the many ways you can listen to First Shift. I happen to have a special place in my big heart for Will. Will's just a very respectful young man, doing well for himself. You know, he's kind of, I look at that generation of young people and think, okay, Will gets it. He understands. Hard work is what it takes to get where you need to go. So, Will, good morning to you. Thanks for, Anthony, why is he listening this morning? Isn't he normally sleeping at this time?
Yeah, he's starting a new shift. He works mornings now, but he locked his keys out of his car this morning.
So. Ah.
Yep.
So I shout him out. You called him out.
Yep. Everybody knows now.
Not everyone knows. All right. Well, I'm glad that he's listening this morning. Thanks so much. By the way, I wanted to mention I want to go back to sports for just a minute. But before we get there, this Friday there's going to be a rally to greet Mitt Romney at Ford Field, where he will be giving the speech at the Detroit Economic Club. And I may actually be involved in a bigger way, but we'll talk to you about that tomorrow. But I do want to make you folks aware of it. The time is you should be there by about 9. The rally is going to start about 9:30. It's going to go for a couple hours. The location is at the Gem and Century Theater parking garage, the top deck, located on the intersection of Brush and Beacon Streets. 1901 Brush Street in Detroit. I will get you more information, and I will mention this again throughout the course of the show today, but if you want to go Friday morning to make sure that Mitt Romney is greeted, let Mitt go bankrupt, remember? We'll get you all those details. Jeff, I got to tell you, I'm impressed with the 13th ranked, I believe they're the 13th ranked basketball a college basketball team in the country this morning.
What about the 11th ranked? No, I'm just kidding. AP 11, but I think you're right. Coaches poll maybe 13. Michigan Wolverines, are you talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. I got to tell you that, I mean, certainly we got to give our due to Michigan State. They didn't play last night, so they played tonight at 8:30. But Michigan did play last night. They won in overtime. And I just like
I like what's happened to that program. I mean, it feels, you know, again, I'm a guy of the 80s. My maturation years were the 80s. So Michigan basketball was big in the 80s, dude, as you probably would not remember, but I certainly do. And so this is kind of reminiscent, making me feel younger, making me reminiscent for those throwback years in the 80s. They're playing really good basketball these days.
Well, come on, late 80s, I remember. They won the national championship.
I'm not, you were a kid. You're just
9, 10.
I said you were a kid.
Big basketball guy, though. So, and actually, you're right. The heyday what I remember, the greatest time period being is the Fab Five. Not the fallout, what happened afterwards, but, you know, during that was it was cool to be a Michigan fan, to wear black socks, baggy shorts, you know, your yellow jersey. But, no, last night's game, I'll tell you what, it started out great, and then the next thing I know, it's halftime, and they're down by 7, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, gosh, this is a horrible way to, you know, like, this is not the loss you want to have. Out of the four games, the four games that was remaining before last night. This was one of the this is the toughest one out of the four, I think. So, you know, once they get this one behind them, not to say that they couldn't lose one of the next three, but I think it was the toughest of the four. And it was good to see them come back in the way they did it as well.
Yep, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. So I'm just pleased that the program is doing so well. Of course, the NCAA tourney is coming up before we know it. Certainly 4 weeks from now, we should be embroiled in the middle of all that.
Well, we got the exciting Big Ten tournament first, though.
That's true. That is true.
Which I thought was funny, that the announcers last night for Big Ten Network. Michigan is fighting for a high seed in the tournament. No, they're kind of fighting for the Big Ten championship itself. Yeah, I love how it's a race between Michigan State and Ohio State when really Michigan's right there with them.
Yeah, literally right there with them. By the way, Anthony, the showcased the Major League Baseball television network for me yesterday afternoon, so I watched it for a very short period of time, there was some kind of game show on that I couldn't follow.
Baseball IQ?
Yep.
Yeah.
I have no baseball IQ, so it really kind of defeats the purpose.
No, I do. When you watch a show like that, I feel kind of like, man, if I ever watched a baseball game before, yeah. I mean, these guys know everything, and I'm thinking, man, I thought I knew a lot about baseball.
Yeah. I really felt stupid. And I was. I mean, I'll just be honest about it. I had no clue what the hell. I mean, they were asking these questions, and these guys are throwing out the names of these ball players, and I'm going, I'll say about who? Huh?
Well, yeah, you ever watch ESPN had a show called, I think it was Stump the Schwab.
I loved that show.
See, that was the same thing, though. It was like, you know, it was like, who has the highest scoring average in the 70s in the NBA on Tuesdays? And these guys were, like, naming off people. I'm thinking, who would know that, you know? I mean, we talked about that last week, these crazy stats that are kept by people. And these, you know, there's people out there that are, you know, it's almost like their religion.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was actually, I don't know if concern's the right word, but at some point I was mindful that Anthony might be on that path. At 7 or 8 years old, Anthony would grab the sports section every morning and go through it and literally read the sports section and go through stats, and then he would know stuff that, you know, a 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old really shouldn't know. And I don't mean that in a bad way. But, you know, fortunately, he found another purpose, drugs, alcohol. I don't know what it was that
got something healthier, you know.
Anthony, what got you off that path? Who knows? Who knows?
Expensive belts.
That could have been it.
But, fashion.
Fashion, yeah. He is a fashion maven.
He is. I'm taking tips and lessons and writing notes down.
But anyway, he didn't. At some point, although he's still very much a stats guy, I'm still amazed by what he does know. I was a little worried at one point because it was a little obsessive. But if you're going to get obsessed about something, that's not a bad thing to be obsessed about.
See, I wasn't stat. I don't know that I was ever a stats guy, which is weird because I'm always a huge guy about numbers and really good with math when I was a kid. But I was I certainly was the kid who was like needed to have a subscription to Sports Illustrated. And my parents were like, "Hey, we'll get you Sports Illustrated for kids." And I was like, "Okay, great, but get me the real one too." You know, and half the time I couldn't, maybe I didn't understand most of the article, but it was, you know, the pictures, and I did read about if it was a Detroit team, but I needed both. I needed Sports Illustrated for kids and the real one.
Well, I did subscribe to Sports Illustrated for the real one for Anthony for a while, a couple of years. Do you still get Sports Illustrated, Jeff?
No. I mean, no. I had ESPN for a while. I did have Sports Illustrated until a month or two ago.
Really? Okay. Well,
it wasn't mine. It was, you know, my parents had signed up for to help benefit a charity kind of thing, and your reward was a free subscription to whatever magazine you wanted, so they forwarded it along to me.
Gotcha. Hey, can I at the break come in and get a list of audio? I don't have one.
I'll deliver you one. How's that?
No, you don't have to deliver. I need the exercise. I'll be right in. Let's take a break, and then we'll come back. And because I don't have it in front of me, I don't know what we're going to talk about. But I promise you, we will talk about something worthy. This is First Shift. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Still a traffic update brought to you by McDonald's. Lots of black ice out there leading to lots of accidents. Northbound 75 at Square Lake Road, traffic is getting by in the left lane only. Further on into northern Oakland Town, we have an accident before East Holly Road, a rollover accident there. Southbound on 75 after Sashaba, an accident blocking the left lane. 96 eastbound is all messed up around the Milford area as well. I'm Russ with traffic.
It's back. Drive through McDonald's today to get a Shamrock Shake. This cool treat full of minty goodness is only here for a limited time. Don't delay.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast of the National Weather Service today, rain showers before noon. That switches to rain and snow a little bit later on. Mostly cloudy, a high around 40. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a chance of snow showers early, a low around 31. Then tomorrow, a chance of rain and snow showers, cloudy, a high in the upper 30s. Right now, it's overcast and 37 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
In these times of cold, healthcare austerity, it reaffirms one's faith in humanity to learn that many hospitals are now going the extra mile to provide top-quality care for all. For all super-rich people, that is. So rich that they can buy their way into amenities units that have quietly been built into secluded sections of many hospitals. It's not medical care that they're peddling to an elite clientele, but the personal pampering that the super-rich expect in all aspects of their lives. I was supposed to be in Buenos Aires last week taking tango lessons, a Wall Street executive explained matter-of-factly to a New York Times reporter, but unfortunately I hurt my back, so I'm here with my concierge. A hospital with a concierge? Yes. This one's called 11 West, an exclusive wing of New York's Mount Sinai Medical Center. We pride ourselves on getting anything the patient wants, beamed 11 West's director of hospitality. If they have a craving for lobster tails and we don't have them on the menu, we'll go out and get them. From New York to L.A., hospitals that draw huge subsidies from us taxpayers and often are so overcrowded that regular patients are lucky to get a gurney in the hallway have set aside entire floors for $2,400 a day deluxe suites. They come with butlers, five-star meals, marble baths, imported bed sheets, special kitchens, and other amenities for swells who have both insurance and cash to burn. This is Jim Hightower saying, not only is it repugnant for the plutocratic elite to pervert healthcare into a luxury commodity, but their very effort to do so splits asunder America's essential uniting principle of the common good. To push for a national policy that treats healthcare as a fundamental human need for all, contact Physicians for a National Health Program at pnhp.org.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, time to punch back in.
35 minutes after the hour. Thanks for being with us on this early Wednesday morning. It is hump day, Wednesday. Before we get to the audio, first, a few things. Oddly, we leave the studio yesterday. Jeff, I know that you dealt with this as well, but we left the studio yesterday and there were a couple snowflakes falling. By the time we got to the expressway, which is, 2 minutes from at the beginning of the commute, it was just coming down in buckets, the snow was. And then we had one hell of a commute getting home yesterday because it just snowed like crazy. And then I had to go to a meeting last night, and by the time the afternoon got here, all the snow that had fell had melted, and the roads were dry. It's just the craziest thing.
I know, and the weirdest part is, again, listening to radio later in the day, everyone was making fun of it. Like, we got a snowstorm in Michigan. Oh, it's so weird. It was like, no, it was pretty bad for about 20, 30 minutes, you know? And then and this winter has been so weird where the morning is winter and the afternoon is spring, and then by the nighttime it's fall, and you're getting all four seasons during the day, it seems.
Right. Yeah, there you go. It was just really weird. And then the roads this morning, as you and I were talking, and I ran into Russ, who does the traffic here on the station. And Russ and I were talking right before the show began, and he had the same experience I did coming in, slip sliding away. And of course, you and I had a conversation as well. It was pretty nasty out there.
Oh, this morning was, when I was getting onto 96, the entrance ramp, I still slid the back end out. And I was thinking, man, I got in the car thinking, thank goodness there's no snow because it's not going to be slick out. And then you just don't see it on the road and it freaks you out a little bit.
Yeah, well, it certainly did that. Anyway, just very, very weird weather conditions this morning. But I'm happy to say everybody arrived safely and off we go. Again, feel free to join us. We're always open lines, and you're always welcome to join us. And now would be a good time to do that. But before, let me give you the number, 888-552-3595. I felt bad yesterday, Jeff. I gave because my stupid typing fingers, I'd sent the wrong number for the show to Cindy Estrada. Fortunately, they were able to find the number, and she was on time, but maybe they threw it in my face a little bit before the show. But that's okay. We'll get through it. 888-552-3595. Again, Tony at thetonyshow.org is the email address, and on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. Let's go national before we go local. We got a couple local stories that are quite bothersome, especially if you are in the Highland Park School District, and we're going to get to that, I promise, before we get out of here in this hour. But the ongoing struggle for these Republican candidates to get any traction, because they're not having a whole lot of luck. Ron Paul, by the way, has a new Michigan ad out and against Rick Santorum, and it's actually quite funny. Let's play that ad, and we'll talk about it on the other side.
Is this dude serious? Fiscal conservative? Really? Santorum voted to raise the debt ceiling 5 times, doubled the size of the Department of Education, then supported the biggest entitlement expansion since the 60s. Not groovy. Santorum voted to send billions of our tax dollars to dictators in North Korea and Egypt, and even hooked Planned Parenthood up with a few million bucks. Rick Santorum, a fiscal conservative.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Not groovy, Jeff.
Besides sending the money to dictators, the rest of the ad makes him sound very liberal.
Not groovy, buddy. Not groovy at all. I'm wondering if the guy had bell-bottom pants on. in a psychedelic headband. I don't know. You know, this whole thing about them all raising the debt ceiling, it's such a false argument. But I'm certainly not here to defend Rick Santorum, because trust me on this one. This stuff is nothing compared to what he's really like. There's no question that's true. That doesn't mean, though, that there aren't those that aren't out there to support Rick Santorum, or at least to prop him up a little bit. Sarah Palin, Jeff's secret girlfriend, and she is your secret girlfriend. I know that you secretly pine for her. She is an attractive lady, by the way.
I apparently have a lot of these, because every time I bring up some, like Sarah Palin or Michelle Bachmann, or have any kind of audio from any kind of woman, then that's my secret girlfriend
for
the day.
No, you really do seem to have a shine for Sarah Palin.
You said that about Ron Paul, too.
You do have a shine for Ron Paul.
I have a shine for anyone who's in the news, apparently, because that's who I get your clips from.
All right. Well, Sarah Palin, of course, wants to let us know that the quote-unquote mainstream media is getting all, well, I'll let her explain it. Go ahead.
I believe there's good and evil. I believe in the Lord's Prayer. You look at fascism, Nazism, Imperial Japan, the killing fields, 9/11. I would argue that's evil in our lifetime, is it not? Or evil in our time in the last century as well.
Yeah, but Sean, that's foreign to so many in that leftist media that kind of runs the show here, that narrative that they create. They will attack any conservative who boldly proclaims their faith and talks about there is good in the world and there is evil in the world. And that's what Rick Santorum was talking about. And this was a speech that he gave back in 2008, where he named evil as Satan. And for these mainstream media characters to get all wee-weed up about that, first you have to ask yourself, have they ever attended a Sunday school class even? Have they never heard this terminology before? And that's why they just got so, just whacked out about this speech. Yeah. They did the same thing to me. I gave a speech, gave a speech back in 2008 where I asked college and high school students if they would pray for our troops and pray for our efforts overseas in war zones. And they ran that tape over and over again in the vice presidential race, trying to make me sound like a whack.
Governor. I think you did that all on your own. You didn't need the lamestream media wee-weeing all over the place to make you look like a wacko or sound like a wacko.
Tried to make me look like a wacko. I love that part of it. Well, you know, I guess they were successful because you look pretty wacko.
Yeah, I think she's inhaled. I do. I think she's inhaled.
I'm not even going to touch that.
I do. I think she's inhaled. Okay, we're going to go to the phones. Let's welcome my good friend Dave in California. Joins us now, listening online. Dave, welcome to First Shift this morning.
Tony, for a long time I wasn't able to hear you, but, you know, I hunt all over the Internet looking for somebody that makes a lot of good sense, and when I arrive at Tony Trubiano, that's usually where I stop. So I've been listening to you pretty much every morning. You're on at 3 a.m. out here.
Yeah. What's on your mind this morning, Dave?
Well, one of the thoughts, I guess, because we've discussed it in the past sometime, that I know you and most people in the media, they don't ever want to be thought of as conspiracy theorists, but I keep wondering, how did this little 1% of greedy billionaires gain so damn much power? How did they gain more than the majority of our Congress? How did they so often gain the White House? How are they able to defeat candidates for Congress of the likes of Tony Trubiano? I believe they rig elections. I am convinced that they insist on having these damn voting machines in place all over for that reason. Those are things they're designed to cheat. I remember, I think you went back to the earliest days of Clint Curtis, who actually, I guess, designed the first machines for some of them. Anyway, that's what's on my mind. And
I don't know that those are conspiracy theories, Dave. Maybe some people, and thanks, I appreciate the call, Dave. I don't think that, I don't think those are necessarily conspiracy theories. Is it true that voting machines can be manipulated? It's been proven. My friend Brad Friedman at bradblog.com has demonstrated that repeatedly. Is it true that the mainstream media ignores that truth? Yes. That doesn't make it a conspiracy theory. It makes it an inconvenient truth, but it's a truth nonetheless. Can elections be rigged? They absolutely can. Have they been? Of course they have. Folks, do you really believe that if you if there's not a great deal at stake in a certain part of the country or the state that there aren't ways to manipulate the vote count? Oh, come on, you're not that naive. That's not Dave conspiracy theory. I just think it's, again, an inconvenient truth. Of course, the problem is, you know, proof. And even when you have proof, it's ignored. I don't know what I don't know how to correct that. I truly don't. But I do know that, and I appreciate the nice words you had to say about me. I do know that it's just important that we continue to fight the good fight, to out what we can out. But again, a lot of it just has to be based on facts, and that's one of the thresholds that has to be met for this show. I Dane, listen, it's not like I don't talk about things that aren't don't necessarily have all the facts in a row. That would be disingenuous of me to even pretend to claim that that is true, because that would be unfair. At the same time, to the greater issues of our society, yeah, we do really need to come to the table with facts. I think it's important that we do that. But thanks for your call, and I do appreciate that. We're just, you know, again, Dave, with the support of you and the millions of people in this country like you, we will eventually one day win. Goes back to our first word this morning, failure. We cannot forget that failure, in the process of failure, great lessons are learned. If you're paying attention, of course. And I am. That's the point I'm trying to make, folks, is pay attention. When we come back, we're going to take a look at what's happening in the Highland Park School District. The court decision last week that the emergency manager is no longer valid. Well, there's been a domino effect to that. One of those dominoes that fell is something called a payless payday. What's the reality of that happening and what's going on? We'll get to all of that on the other side. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
The world is changing. So I don't know if really hardcore conservative Americans are wielding the influence that they once did.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Jeff sent me a list of tweets in response to Rick Santorum's three victories last night. My favorite one is the very first one from Philip Klein. All these people are Republican strategists or tied to the Republican Party in some way. Philip Klein says, breaking, Ann Romney tells Heckler, my husband can't blanking throw the ball and catch it at the same time. I actually laughed out loud, Jeff, when I read that one.
Me too.
That was actually very funny.
First Shift with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Union. Solidarity. Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice. What's on your mind? 1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Yeah, you absolutely are. Thank you for doing that as well. 10 minutes before 7 o'clock, I know a lot of you are getting ready for work this morning. If you live in Highland Park, our thoughts are with you this morning because there's a struggle going on. The first of two pieces of audio, the first one deals with teachers and a very realistic potential for a payless payday.
And seriously, Stephen, there is so much going on in this district. No one is sure the district can survive, but almost everyone is sure the 70 teachers in Highland Park will not be getting their paychecks on Friday.
That will be very hard for each and every one of us, but it's something that we may have to deal with.
Because, says Katrina Henry, who teaches at the high school, who represents all the teachers, as the union president says, they've been told there is no money for payroll, at least not this week.
With the help of the superintendent, that she'll make sure that we're paid.
There is little doubt tonight the Highland Park District is in trouble, in turmoil, its future uncertain.
I'm hoping for an outcome that will have minimal disruption to the kids.
Jack Martin, who was the emergency manager, was told today to step down temporarily because of an ongoing lawsuit, but he says he expects to be reappointed.
I'm thinking I could be back next week or sooner.
Really?
It's possible.
And board member and parent Soini Williams says that may be good news.
If Lance is not going to fund us any more money without him being here, then we need to keep him here.
Well, it was just temporary.
Martin met with board members tonight in small groups to explain what's going on, how they can speed up his return, how they can help the district to survive. After all, that is what most parents and teachers and administrators say they're hoping for.
We can't let the kids suffer on the backs of a dollar amount, so that's the main issue.
It's what some say they are praying for.
We're going to work to do what we can to keep it open. And we're asking for the public and the citizens, we're asking for the governor, we're asking for the legislative, we're asking for all of them to assist us in making sure that Highland Park has a school district that's vital.
Now, Governor Snyder has sent letters to parents in Highland Park telling them to prepare just in case they have to transfer their children to another school. And it's reported he's trying to get a law passed that says that if a child is transferred to another school, state funding goes with them. We'll have to see how this all plays out. In Highland Park, I'm Cheryl Troden, 7 Action News.
You know, I may not know all of the details behind the scenes, but I'm thinking they're making this a little bit harder than it needs to be to try to prove a point that I'll get to. That obviously wasn't the audio that I had originally given to you, but this is what the teachers have to deal with, and then we'll talk more.
The governor says this is fluid and it's complicated. Let's start last week. You'll remember the governor lost a lawsuit over the way he appointed an emergency manager for the district, specifically behind closed doors. So today, the fallout is landing on teachers and students because there is no one to oversee the district's finances.
Unless they decide to work for free by Monday, there may be no teachers to instruct Highland Park's 900 or so students in three buildings. On a conference call from Lansing, where he also announced he must tell emergency manager Jack Martin to, quote, stand down, the governor spelled out just how financially crippled the school district is.
Roughly, I believe the number is about $40,000 of cash available, and they have
a payday on Friday. So essentially we're looking at a situation where Friday will be, use a generalized term, a payless payday, unless the Highland Park School Board comes up with a solution in the interim.
Among the things that will happen and may happen, the financial review team starts at square one tomorrow, holding its meeting in public as ordered by the court. Immediately after, members could recommend an EM be appointed. Then there would either have to be a special hearing or the governor would have to wait 7 days before reappointing Jack Martin. And in the meantime, efforts would be underway to get another school district or charter school to come into Highland Park and teach the students.
Been in touch with any districts and any response as to whether they'd be willing to come into the Highland Park School.
It'd be very preliminary, Val, but we have started some dialogue just so we could understand what might be some of those requirements, but it's not, wouldn't be appropriate to get into the point of going through what those districts might be at this point.
And of course, an outside district would have to be paid, but since Highland Park has no money, the governor says, and here's a big one, he needs lawmakers to pass a bill immediately, almost overnight, that would make money available. From the newsroom, I'm Val Clark.
And they could do that. Now they need to do it. I'm going to pick on the legislature in just a few moments on the other side of the hour, at the top of the hour. But it's something that they can solve. Jeff, I just sit here and I think about these poor kids and these poor teachers that are kind of caught in the crosshairs here. And it's just unfair to them that this is happening. You know, let me make a point, and I'm not just doing this because of convenience of the argument, but keep in mind that this has happened because there was a lawsuit that was filed that said that our governor and the Emergency Manager Law, Public Act 4, were thwarting democracy. And that this, their insistence on meeting behind closed door was breaching the Open Meetings Act. A judge clearly saw that that was true and immediately had to withdraw. They had immediately had to withdraw the emergency manager. Shouldn't the governor take some responsibility in that process? I mean, he was warned that this might happen, and yet he proceeded anyhow.
Well, not only that, but part of that audio says that these people are now fearing that if they don't work with him, if they don't cave in and get and say, yeah, bring the emergency manager back, that the state won't help them out at all. So they're holding them over a barrel because they want to make sure that they get their EM put in.
Well, part of me is even wondering if the governor's enjoying this a little bit, and I don't mean that he's sitting there going, now I've got them, but I think he's going, you know what? They should have just listened to me. They should have just gone along and done what I told them to do, because you're exactly right. Now an emergency manager looks like the perfect fix, doesn't it?
Well, it sounds like they won't help out. It's like, okay, fine, you don't want to do it our way, then we're wiping our hands clean
right
until you do it.
So now they're saying, you know, can they pass an emergency law almost overnight, as Val Clark said, that would give them the opportunity and the ability, more importantly, to send money to the Highland Park School District to cover payroll. These teachers must be paid. They must be paid. You can't hold them hostage. You just can't. And these poor kids that are going to be disrupted if they have to go to another school, I mean, that's a problem in and of itself. You can't take somebody in February or March and move them to a new school. It's ridiculous. Oh, and by the way, for those of you that weren't paying attention, one of the options was to turn the Highland Park schools into charter schools. How convenient is that? We'll be following this story for you. A lot more to get to in the next hour, so you're going to want to stay right where you're at. I am Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift. And you are listening to 1310 WDTW. Stay right with us. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour, but then we'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Lots of problems out there because of black ice.
It's been an absolute mess this morning so far, especially in northern Oakland County, where northbound 75 at Square Lake Road, we have an accident there. Traffic is getting by only in the left lane. Also, M14 westbound after Godfredson, we have an accident there, block in the right lane. M59 westbound at Adams, we have an accident there, block in the left lane. Things are a mess. Cut back on your speed. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, mostly cloudy. A chance of rain and snow showers at different times. A high around 40. Tonight, a chance of snow showers mainly before midnight. Mostly cloudy. A low around 32. And then tomorrow, we're looking at a chance of rain and snow. Once again, cloudy. A high in the upper 30s. Right now, it's overcast and 37 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift going up after the top of the hour.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Top story this hour, American journalist Marie Colvin of the Sunday Times of London was one of two Western journalists reportedly killed in Homs, Syria today. The other was a French photojournalist. Just last night, Colvin reported from the besieged city on CNN's Anderson Cooper 360. She described seeing a child who died after being hit with shrapnel.
Men, women, and children hiding, being shelled, defenseless. That little baby is just one of two children who died today, one of children being injured every day. That baby probably will move more people to think, what is going on and why is no one stopping this murder?
The International Atomic Energy Agency says 2 days of talks came up empty-handed on a way to verify that Iran's nuclear program really is peaceful. Former Defense Secretary William Cohen doesn't buy Iran's claim that it is peaceful.
I don't think there's any question but Iran is building a nuclear weapons capability. We talk about circumstantial evidence. The footprint of guilt can be traced by the searchlight of probability.
The four Republican presidential candidates debate again tonight in Mesa, Arizona. It'll air on CNN Radio and TV at 8 Eastern Time. CNN political editor Paul Steinhauser has a preview.
This is the first debate in nearly a month since our debate in Jacksonville, Florida, and so much has changed, especially for Rick Santorum. Remember, last time there was a debate, he was standing on the sidelines. This time, he is going to be center stage with Mitt Romney. And when you become a co-front runner, you get a lot more scrutiny.
Oil prices keep rising. Gas prices keep rising. There's nothing anybody can do about it. White House spokesman Jay Carney says as much.
There are no magic solutions to rising oil prices and the pain that Americans feel at the pump.
The National Retail Federation did a survey of more than 8,700 consumers and finds that 44% say they plan to stash at least some of their tax refunds in savings. That's up a little from last year and the highest percentage in the survey's 9-year history. This is CNN Radio.
Wow, we have so much we have to do around the house.
Awesome.
A reason to go to the Tool Mega Sale at Sears this week.
Fix the car.
Up to 50% off all Craftsman Mechanics tool sets. Check.
And the garage is a mess.
Up to 50% off Craftsman tools storage. Booyah!
And the faucet is... Honey, are you okay?
I'm just so excited.
Tackle your to-do list at the Tool Mega Sale starting this Friday only at Sears. Hundreds of Craftsman tools on sale in one place. Craftsman, trust in your hands. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
Nelman, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh.
Ooh. Oh, no, were you sick too, sir?
Nelman, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from Accountemps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes! What's that?
On second thought, Bob from Accountemps could handle payroll, too.
Bob.
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
Owners of the newest Apple iPhone are familiar with Siri, the voice-activated personal assistant, but imagine a Siri-like personality in your television. It's coming. Google is working on voice-activated technology for its Google TV service, which also could talk back to you. Los Angeles Times says it would do everything a remote does, plus search for your favorite shows and movies. As we wait for the morning's big economic report, January existing home sales, we have another reading of the housing market. High-end home builder Toll Brothers is posting results from the quarter ending January 31st. It was a surprise loss of almost $3 million on an almost 4% drop in revenue. But in a sign of definite hope, Toll reports a 19% increase in orders for new homes yet to be built. Most Asian stock markets did increase today, but European markets are sliding. S&P futures are losing 3, NASDAQ futures down 4, Dow futures down 20. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
Last week, I started a meeting on my office computer. I had to go cross town for another meeting. So Mike drove, and I was able to finish my WebEx meeting using the WebEx app on my smartphone. This is how you do business.
Connect online and share what's on your computer screen with others. Anytime, anywhere. On their desktop, on their laptop, or mobile device. Go to WebEx.com right now and try WebEx free. WebEx from Cisco. WebEx.com.
Thank you for calling Bank. Our banking hours are Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m.
You have reached Bank. Please call back during our normal business hours.
Welcome to hours on Monday through Friday.
It is after 5 p.m. We are closed. Hi, thanks for calling Ally Bank. How may I help you?
If your bank doesn't have a real person available 24/7, you need an ally. Ally Bank. No nonsense, just people sense. Member FDIC.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
How do our corporate tax returns look, Norman?
Not good, Mr. Fernwell. We owe $12.8 billion.
Impossible! I'm calling Bob from Accountants.
Good idea, sir. You think he can loan us the money?
Bob's a corporate tax whiz, Norman. Knows it all. State, federal. He'll straighten this mess out.
Meantime, I've got money to raise. How about I wash your car for you?
What?
I'll even buff it with a soft chamois. How's $175,000 sound?
Call Accountants for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountants, a Robert Half Company.
As the clock chimes a reminder that it's time to punch in for another shift, those of us who have worked tirelessly to honor our contracts and the promise they represent have also been paying attention to the many promises that have been ignored by the politicians.
Now as we mark the time for change,
it is you and I who will confidently send the message that since it is only us who have upheld their promises, that 2012 marks the time for change. And change begins with First Shift with Tony Truffiano.
Absolutely, it does. And today, this hour actually is going to be an hour of great change. We're going to get to it all, I promise. Just 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this 22nd day of February, the year 2012. Just want to make sure everybody's where they're supposed to be. In the right year, on the right day, in the right time. You know, I don't know, maybe you had a rough night. I do know this, that for months we have been working diligently, and we did work for a period of, I don't know, 3 or 4 months to help with the recall of Paul Scott in the 51st House District here in the state of Michigan. You'll recall that over the course of time, we had, and we helped them raise some money. We had different people on the show to talk about the recall there. And that, of course, was successful. Our good friends at the Michigan Education Association were actively involved in that effort, and proudly so. To the chagrin of some, no question about it. Well, that next Tuesday is when the two candidates, the Republican and the Democrat, that are vying for that open seat will be elected. So for many of us, especially as Democrats, the primary, whether you decide to participate or not, is, of course, totally up to you. Maybe just another day, but especially if you live in the 51st House District, it is not another day, and not just for Steve Losey, who is the candidate, the Democratic candidate, but for the fine people that live in the 51st House District who have been without representation since the shame of Paul Scott burdened that poor community who did not deserve what they ended up getting. Joining me now is Steve Losey. Steve is really one of those rare people that is experienced, experienced in the way that you'd want him to be. He's serving on the Linden School Board, and interestingly enough, he won that election as a write-in candidate, and I don't think people understand how very difficult that is. He's also a special education teacher at the Redford Union Schools and has served as president of the school's teachers union, and he joins us this morning to talk about next Tuesday and what he needs from each and every one of us And Steve, I want to welcome you to First Shift this morning.
Good morning, Tony. It's nice to be on. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time. I know that you've got a lot going on between now and next Tuesday. I can't fathom that you've probably knocked thousands of doors at this point and talked to thousands of people in the 51st House District. And I'm going to guess that you're getting a pretty good response after what Paul Scott did to that community. I think somebody with your, especially with your education background, would be a breath of fresh air to those folks.
Well, you know, Tony, it has been it's been very uplifting talking to all the folks throughout the 51st. I've had a lot of support. A lot of folks are very eager to take this district back, to try to right some of the things that have been going on that were not in our favor, so to speak. And, you know, it's just been the outpouring of goodwill and what everybody wants to do to make things better has just been fantastic.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think that it did, for those that wonder, well, how did this guy, you know, how did they choose this guy to be the Democrat that's going to run? That, you know, that in and of itself was an interesting process. So let's share with this audience how you did end up being chosen as the Democrat to run in the 51st House District.
I kind of asked myself that question a lot also. You know, I was active in the Recall Paul Scott campaign. I spoke at a couple different rallies. I had voiced some interest in possibly doing that type of thing. And it just kind of, one thing led to another. And, you know, I've always told my kids and the kids that I teach, you know, you can't really fault somebody or blame somebody or accuse somebody or speak poorly of somebody in the job they're doing if you're not willing to step up and try to make a difference yourself. So, you know, one thing led to another. It just kind of fell in place that way. You know, I spoke out and I felt very strongly about Paul Scott and him being recalled and the mistruth that he at least told to me personally. So the next step was basically, hey, if I'm gonna fault this man, if I'm going to say he's not doing his job, then who am I if I don't step up and try to make a difference myself?
Well, and of course the good people in Genesee County, decided that you were the best person to step forward for a variety of reasons. And you know, one of them, Steve, is we need to be mindful of this. And I'm going to say when you are elected next Tuesday. You know, you have to turn around and run again in November. So this is right. Not, you know, it's not like you win and all of a sudden you got 2 years. You got just a few months.
Sure. But I think the folks, once I'm in there, you know, hit the ground running, and the folks are seeing that, you know, I am a man of my word. I am working for them. I am hearing their voice. I'm taking their voice to Lansing. I don't think that November will be much of an issue. I think they'll see that I am the real deal, and that their change is able to be had, and it will work. And it just takes the collective voice of all the folks in the 51st. To say, hey, this is what we want, this is what we need, and Steve Losey is the guy that's going to get it for us.
Well, yeah, let me, you know, and I think it's a fair question. Pundits would look at that, and some state pundits have looked at this, the 51st House District, and say, you know, it really is a Republican district, and it probably will stay Republican. You know, Steve Losey's a nice guy. He's got the credentials, but it's really a Republican district. How do you respond to that? Because Steve, at some level, I got to think that irritates the bejesus out of you when you hear that.
Well, you have to understand, Tony, that, you know, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, we're all people. We're all living in the 51st. We all want what's best for our families, for ourselves, to make life a little bit easier for us. We know we all want folks to be held accountable. And I think that there is that group of so-called Republicans, if you want to call it, that are realizing, you know, this, you know, it's about us. It's about making things better for all of us. And what's going on right now just isn't working. Lansing's broken. We got too much partisan nonsense going on, and we need somebody who's willing to step in between all of that and talk to both sides and say, hey, what's right for the people? Just not what's right for the Republicans, not just what's right for the Democrats, but what's right for all of us, because we all have a stake in this, and we all have to live together, bottom line. It's what has to happen.
Well, Steve Losey, some would say, well, that's a real convenient thing to say, and of course he's saying the right thing. He's always just... But, you know, at some level, you live in this community. It's not like you don't live in this community. You've been involved in education for many years. where the color of one's skin, somebody's political affiliation, how much money they have, doesn't matter to you. You are an educator, and therefore everyone is treated equal as they walk through that door. So I think that you have a different capacity to carry that message forward. I do think that you have an understanding. Listen, you do see what the Republicans and the state legislature are doing to the people of the state of Michigan. You're mindful of that. You're not going to ignore that. At the same time, you know that the values that you advocate for kind of transcend party politics. At least you would hope they would.
Well, once again, Tony, people are understanding that we're all people. We're all in this together. It's not about, you know, your partisan politics. It's not about where you come from. Everybody wants better for themselves and for their families. We all want to live a nice, comfortable life. And what folks are seeing is that's just, you know, we've got the, you know, the quote unquote the 1%. They're living really well, and they're getting better. And the rest of us, you know, we're becoming the working poor, and we're just not getting. We're working harder to have less. And it's just not right. And folks understand that. You know, I've been teaching for 17 years. And, you know, I try to take in a classroom every day. You get what you work for. You have to work hard. And it's unfortunate that folks are now seeing, you know, hey, I'm working harder, but it just isn't coming. You know, and this one group over here is getting all everything they want. And they're really trying to make it sound like I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing while they're reaping all the rewards. And it's just not the right thing to do. We need to bring our government, our state, back to the people. And I'm hopeful, I'm extremely hopeful, that this is just the tip of the iceberg. I'm hoping folks will see across the state. You know, we got a lot of folks that you know, they don't feel comfortable standing up and speaking out. It's not really something that they're good at or that they want to do. They don't want to be noticed. But I'm hoping that the folks in the 51st and around the state will see that there are people such as myself that are willing to stand up and say, hey, you know what, I'll be the guy that takes the hit. I'll be the guy that makes the noise. But you have to be behind me. When I turn around and say, hey, when I stand up in Lance and say, this is what needs to happen, I need to be able to turn around and say, look, I got the 51st behind me. And I hope that's going to resonate across the state of Michigan, and more folks are going to stand up and say, look, you know what? These folks that we put in the power right now, they're not working for us. They're not doing what we need them to do. We need something different. And I'm hoping this is just the start of some good things that are going to happen across the state of Michigan.
Well, there's no question. We all hope that that's true for you. Let me ask you very quickly. We've just got about a minute left, Steve Losey. Sure. You got two families. You got your education family and, of course, your blood family. How are they feeling about your journey to this point?
Well, you know, it's kind of strange because, you know, I am a teacher. I teach down at Redford Union Schools. So I've got that group of folks down there are advocating for me heavy. I'm also their union president, so they're a little bit nervous about what's going to happen or what may happen when I do win this seat and they're left, you know, not without a president, but without my presence in that district to help take care of things. But then I also have my school board seat up here where I see things from a whole different side of things. The folks up here have been supportive and whatnot. And my family has been outstanding. I mean, my kids, I got three kids, three beautiful children. They've been hearing their things from their government teachers and from different folks around the school system here up in Linden. And then my wife has been extremely supportive. You know, she's been burdened, with a lot of the shuffling the kids back and forth and making sure appointments are met and things like that. So, I mean, everybody's come together. I think we all realize that this is for a greater good. You know, the war used to be down at the local level when I was doing battle with school boards and things like that. And then I said, well, you know, I need to elevate this. And I went to the school board level of things so I could see things from both sides. But now, you know, it's the state that's really hurting us in the public.
Steve, I don't mean to cut you off. We are just out of time. I will tell you this. Our thoughts and our prayers are with you. And, of course, anything that we can do before next Tuesday, know that we're there for you. I have a feeling good things are going to happen for the 51st next Tuesday. Good luck to you, Steve.
Hey, Tony, if you can send a shout-out to anybody who can help out, anybody can come up to the 51st and help out, we'll take any volunteers that are out there. You know, we always can use folks to come up and make a difference.
All right, now let's get to the break.
First shift with Tony Trupiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch. Good morning. Lots of problems out there because the roads are very icy. Southbound 75 after Joslyn, we have an accident there on the left shoulder. After Sashabaugh, another one there on the left shoulder. M14 westbound after Godfredson, an accident blocking the right lane. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast of the National Weather Service. Today, a chance of rain and snow showers. Mostly cloudy, a high near 40. Tonight, chance of snow showers early, then mostly cloudy after midnight, a low around 32. And then Thursday, chance of rain and snow once again. Cloudy, a high near 39. Right now it's overcast and 37 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift going up after this.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us now is attorney and medical marijuana patient himself, Matt Abel.
The people are way ahead of the government and our elected officials in this. Even people who are not interested in marijuana, who don't use it, never have, and don't plan to at all, they believe that prohibition of marijuana should end, that it's counterproductive. It's not the way we want to spend, an ineffective way to control drug usage if that's what you're trying to do. That it just sends it into the black market, it makes the cartels wealthy, and sends our money out of Michigan.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 7 o'clock. A pleasure to be with you on this Wednesday morning. For those of you that are on the Facebook page, Chris Savage from Eclectablog just posted a new article in AnnArbor.com, the case against emergency managers, how bankruptcy preserves democracy. I have not had a chance, obviously, to read it yet. Kind of hard to do that at the same time doing the show. But I wanted to make you all aware of it. I also want to thank those of you that are liking our Facebook page today. We picked up two this morning alone. And we appreciate that. See, that shout-out, Anthony, that shout-out to Will got us a like, so I'll take it. And I'll shout-out anybody if I get a like. We are now up to 939, Jeffrey, 939.
61 more.
61 more. And unfortunately, you've had to listen to me the last 10 months begging people. I don't mind. I'm all right with begging. I'm good at that. But before we go any further, I got to tell you, and I don't, you know, listen, I'm not, you and I aren't in the same studio, so, and I'm not suggesting that you don't listen or pay attention to the show. I am not suggesting that at all. I also know there are times during the show that you're very busy, so you're working on other things like guests, and so I get that. Did you have a chance to listen to the Steve Losey interview?
I did, parts of it, obviously, like you said, but I thought one of the key things, one of the things I liked the most is he said, well, look, if I'm this objective against Paul Scott, if I have this much angst about what he's been doing and his lies that he's been telling, instead of just, you know, boiling about it, he got involved and decided to run against him. I mean, that's exactly what we've been preaching, what you've been preaching on the show, is getting up, standing up, and doing something.
Yeah, I just really, really like this guy. So maybe we can get him on one more time before next Tuesday, maybe next Monday, if you want to reach back out to Sean as campaign manager and get him on one more time. Maybe do just a quick five-minute interview. Remind people, and we should check to see, and I'm sure he has a website. We'll have to find it, but every campaign needs donations. This is a seat that the Democrats can take back now. You don't have to wait till November. And what helps him come November as an incumbent, it's much easier to win. And we need to make sure that that happens. I just really liked this guy. He just seemed to be, just seemed to have a common sense approach to what he's facing. And,
he seems like a very confident speaker. I mean, again, not this isn't what you should base your voting on, but I mean the intangibles of if you're going to run. He seems confident in what he says. He seems like, you know, very personable to have an interview with. I mean. If someone's nervous and they give yes or no answers or they don't seem like they're ready for the media, that's a knock on them normally.
Yep. By the way, just in, the new poll, Marist poll, Romney at 37%, Santorum at
35.
You got it. Detroit News endorses Romney today as well. Gee, there was a shocker. And we'll come back to that. I do want to get to a story. Jeff's got this pet peeve about the city of Detroit either wasting or not going after money that's like low-hanging fruit. All they have to do is ask for it, and it's theirs. Fox 2 ran a piece yesterday on the Detroit Fire Department working on getting a $20 million grant, but the city officials are dragging their feet. Go ahead and listen, and then we'll comment on the other side.
At first, it looks like the city actually had a head start on this. I'm told the city put on a great presentation in Washington and really made the case for why they need this money. And now, they're not even in the first priority group.
Well, I thought this was a new day, that we're all going to work together.
The city of Detroit, its fire department, and the union all working together to score a $20 million grant that would keep 100 firefighters on the job for 2 years. And Detroit wouldn't have to spend a dime. That was the headline just a month ago. Detroit Firefighters Association President Dan McNamara was pretty excited.
The mayor's chief of staff, our commissioner, myself, we're flying out to Washington for the day. We're going to go to the headquarters of the IFF, sit down with Homeland Security, FEMA.
But what's happened since that trip to Washington?
3 weeks went by. Nothing.
During that January meeting, the Washington bigwigs were pretty clear. The SAFER grant is a competitive grant, a grant the city of Detroit was denied 2 years in a row. Thousands of cities are trying to get a piece of it. First priority is given to cities that have laid off firefighters, or at least given them notice. Considering that 100 firefighters are expected to be on the chopping block, McNamara says the city definitely fit in that first group. But to get first priority, Detroit had to meet a specific deadline.
To be in the first priority group, layoff notices had to be issued by January 31st.
And that didn't happen.
No letter was prepared. No layoff slips were prepared. Nothing.
And now the city of Detroit's application will most likely fall into the second priority group. Sources close to the grant tell me Detroit will now face stiffer competition because most applicants fall into this category. The deadline is just days away, and the city of Detroit has yet to turn its application in.
We want to be the first ones in the door, waiting, just holding our hands out. Help us out. Every time I start getting excited and start to believe again, I get pulled down.
The city has been working on the grant, and a spokesperson for the mayor's office says the application will be in by the Friday deadline. And as long as that happens, the city could get every penny it's asking for. But why wait till the very last minute when there are so many jobs and people at stake.
I think it's about busting the unions, because if they can't get this grant, then they come to us and, hey, we need $10 million out of you. It's just the same old rhetoric, on and on and on. And in the meantime, the public safety in Detroit gets more compromised every day.
I'm going to let that statement stand on its own. Jeff, I know that this is a real pet peeve of yours, and it should be. We have chronicled, I don't know, $150 million worth of mess-ups in the city of Detroit over the last 7 or 8 months, maybe a little longer. Doesn't it just blow your mind that there's this ongoing, malfeasance? I don't even know what to call it. Incompetence? Lack of vision. I could go on, but wow. I mean, wow.
And everyone's working together, trying to put together this proposal, this application, or whatever it is they have to turn in. Everyone's thinking good things. Okay, wow, $20 million, going to save some jobs in an election year, in an important environment that we're in. And they're dragging their I just what's the excuse for it? What excuse do you have for dragging your feet and not going after this money?
There is no excuse, which is probably why you're not going to see. I mean, what are the city's response to it is, well, yeah, we'll have it in on time.
Yeah, and that's the thing, because they see a deadline and they're like, oh, we'll push it off until the last second. But even as the story says, you know, if you have to get in line. And why won't you be first in line so you can get the money faster, so you make sure you get the money?
Yeah, and there's something to be said about that, because it is a first-come, first-served situation. And so if you're last in place and they're doling out cash and they get to you, and let's say instead of $20 million, there's only $3 million, and that, I mean, you know, listen, will they take the $3 million? They absolutely will, but then you're out $17 million. And that's the whole point of this. You know, be proactive. And here, the union understood what needed to be done, Jeff. They flew to D.C. They met with everybody they needed to meet with. They got all of their stuff done. All of their stuff done. And then the city sits on that program until the last minute. 888-552-3595. We are open lines in the next segment. Give us a call. We'll take the break and be back on First Shift right after this.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Plenty of accidents out there on those slippery roads. M59 westbound at Adams. Traffic is getting by in only the right lane. That's causing some pretty heavy delays. Also, M14 westbound after Godfredson, an accident there on the right lane as well. I'm Ross with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, a chance of rain and snow showers, mostly cloudy, a high around 40. Tonight, chance of snow showers early, then mostly cloudy after midnight, a low right around the freezing mark, and then tomorrow, a chance of snow early, then a chance of rain and snow late. Cloudy, a high near 39. Right now, it's overcast and 37 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. Led by the record profit of $6.7 billion for GM, the U.S. auto industry is pumping significant money into the Midwestern U.S. economy. UAW workers at GM are getting bonuses of as much as $7,000, money which they will then pump back into local economies. Workers will get the money March 2nd. Ford and Chrysler also paid bonuses to their union workers, helping to give the economy a much-needed boost. States where union auto plants are located are seeing economies growing faster than the national average. Because the U.S. auto industry was saved with government intervention, Michigan's economy is expected to lead all other states in economic growth in the next 6 months. Donald Grimes, a University of Michigan labor and economics researcher, says that's a reversal from the first half of the 2000s. More money in auto workers' pockets is also helping local businesses where the auto plants are located. AFL-CIO President Rich Trumka is in California to highlight and support the struggles of low-wage immigrant workers. Under Trumka, the AFL-CIO has forged new partnerships with day laborers, domestic workers, and workers' centers outside the traditional labor federation structure. SEIU is joining civil rights and immigrant rights advocates in a coordinated effort to urge repeal of a law that SEIU considers racist. Alabama's new immigration law, SEIU says, has legitimized racial profiling,
terrorizing people of color throughout the state. In 2 weeks, SEIU will participate in a week-long series of events against the immigration law. SEIU says it believes the law, HB 56, takes Alabama back to a time of violent discrimination against people of color. Was it greed or other factors that killed two workers in a New York City crane collapse? Jesse Russell reports.
Testimony began Tuesday over a 2008 New York City crane collapse that led to the death of two workers. A prosecutor argued in opening statements that greed was responsible for the collapse. Manhattan Assistant District Attorney Eli Cherkaski alleged company owner James Loma cut corners to save money on a welding job that led to the Upper East Side deaths. However, the defense has alleged the welding on the crane had been done properly, and the actual reason for the collapse was due to the crane being extended too high. The collapse is one of two crane accidents on Manhattan in 2008. The first took the lives of seven workers.
This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. This newscast made possible in part by ULICO, the Union Labor Life Insurance Company, and by OPEIU. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
First word.
First thoughts.
First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First Shift on 1310 WDTW
with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after the hour, as we were seeing in the last segment, a new poll from NBC News and Mara shows that Mitt Romney, with a very small lead over Rick Santorum, 37-35%, well within the margin of error. Mitt Romney doing much better in Arizona, which also will have their primary next Tuesday. That was a much closer race than it did, and it's created quite a bit of distance over the last few days. But Mitt Romney is a slight lead within the margin of error over Rick Santorum here in the state of Michigan. And again, want to share with you the Detroit News has endorsed Mitt Romney, which again does not come as a surprise to anybody, certainly not me. And if we have anything else that breaks in regard to that, we'll bring it to you, but I doubt that we will today. And want to remind you again that there is a rally this Friday at the Gem and Century Theater parking garages, the top deck located at the intersection of Brush and Beacon Streets. The address is 1901 Brush Street. It starts at 9:30, but you need to be there at 9. Be there at 9. Start at 9:30. Go to 11:30. Welcome Governor Romney to the state of Michigan. He'll be speaking at Ford Field on Friday. So anyway, we've got a lot going on. We got a lot going on, and we want to pay attention to that. All right, so here's a little bit going back to something that we talked about yesterday that I got really kind of upset about today. Well, actually, I got upset about it again yesterday because not long after the show, we had an issue. The University of Michigan Board of Regents yesterday did, although along party lines, the right thing. In an emergency meeting, they opposed a bill that was up for debate later in the day in the Senate. That was SB 917. You'll remember we talked about it with Jeremy Moore yesterday. 971, I'm sorry. SB 971. Well, again, the Senate... voted it out of committee, 3-2 party line vote, 3 Republicans, 2 Democrats voting against it. And it's just ridiculous. Basically, the university graduate student research assistants would be exempted from the definition of public employee as a result enabled to unionize under legislation approved today by the Senate Government Operations Committee. Senate Bill 971, again, reported on the 3-2 party line vote, sprung up as a result of efforts by graduate students' research assistants at the University of Michigan to unionize, an issue pending before an administrative law judge after the Michigan Employment Relations Commission denied the proposed union. Now, it was in process. This is, again, the Republicans aborting democracy. You know, if Republicans are against abortion, why do they keep aborting democracy? They seem to have no problem aborting democracy. That seems to be something that they love to abort. I find it offensive in every possible way you can be offended that they are so afraid of these 2,200 graduate assistant students that just want to be treated like people with fairness. Go figure. How does this happen? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. How does this happen? And if you're not outraged over this, you should be. Whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, you should be. You see, part of what democracy should mean for all of us is equality. It should mean equal access to the process. The current breed of Republicans in the state House and the state Senate don't abide by those rules. And the reason that they don't is they don't have to. When you have the supermajority, you can do whatever you want. I say F you. I have literally, I mean, I've always respected those that put themselves out there to run for public office. I've done it. I know the challenge that it is. I have no respect for the vast majority of the Republicans in the current state House and Senate. They are mean, hateful, despicable people that have only one agenda, and that is to fulfill the wishes of their corporate masters who filled their campaign coffers with so much money that they were easily elected. Republicans like to throw wrenches into the works. They like to make things difficult for everybody. And I would venture to guess that without groups like the American Legislative Exchange Council, ALEC, the vast majority of these Republicans wouldn't even know what to do, wouldn't know where to put their thumb, probably can't even wipe their own asses. It is disgusting that they have taken away the democratic process of these GSRAs at the University of Michigan. I am, I think that some, you know, Mary Sue Coleman, who is the president of the University of Michigan, has some culpability in this. She does not want this union to go forward. Most of the administration at the University of Michigan are against this. They don't see these graduate assistants as employees. They see them as students and students that should feel lucky that they get any little pittance they throw their way. Here's a crumb for you, sir. It's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. I wonder, from time to time, especially as we work through this very difficult 2-year period of time leading up to the 2012 election, how many of you understand the seriousness of which we have allowed our state to be raped and pillaged by the Republicans who are hell-bent on taking unions, throwing them to the ground, and crushing them with every bit of energy they have, and there's really nothing that can be done to fight back against it. Have I not made that clear enough? Do you not see this, folks? Do you not understand that you need to stand up and step up and do something about this? Do you think that to sit quietly is enough? Do you not understand that to pick up how simple it is to pick up a damn phone and call a legislator and say, I totally disagree with what you've done and what you're planning to do? I must ask for you to vote the will of the people, not the will of your corporate masters. And if enough of you were to do that, it would actually make a difference. But yet you don't seemingly believe that because you don't pick up the phone. You don't write the letter. You don't send the email. And why do you not do that? I can't answer it anymore. I used to think it's because, well, it wasn't personally touching you. Well, all this stuff is now personally touching all of us. And yet nothing is being done by the vast majority of us to stop this lunacy. All right, so maybe these graduate assistants at the University of Michigan aren't your personal battle. Since when do we only fight our own personal battles? When has that ever defined who we are? When you have your Board of Regents sending a message to the state legislature, the Board of Regents, the people that were duly elected through the democratic process, sending the message to the state legislature, do not pass these draconian laws, and they ignore the will of the regents that were democratically elected to support that institution. What does that mean? What does that mean? I fear you've given up. I have not, and I refuse to. I posted to the Facebook page yesterday afternoon when I got this that we will now fight. It's not law yet. It just passed committee. So the question you have to ask yourself now is, are you willing to pick up a phone or send an email or write a letter to your senator making sure they know that you oppose Senate Bill 971. Are you willing to do that? And are you willing to ask others? I'm sorry, let me correct that. Are you willing to not just ask, but ask for proof? You know, maybe you should just take your cell phone, dial the number for someone else, hit the send button, put it to somebody's ear, and have them complain. This isn't just about having the backs of these young people that have worked very, very hard to get to the position that they're at. It's not even about them being able to just form a union. It's about the very tenet, the very foundation of democracy being aborted by the Republican Party in the state of Michigan on a daily basis. You know, maybe it's uglier in Wisconsin. Maybe it's uglier in Indiana. Maybe it's uglier in Florida and Ohio. Maybe we finesse it here in the state of Michigan a little too much. It just doesn't look as invasive as it is. But folks, you and democracy are getting screwed as hard as you can possibly get screwed. You're being raped by the Republican Party on a daily basis. And you're allowing it to happen. Occupy Detroit, Occupy's First Shift on the other side. Folks, stay with us. We've got a lot to get to today, and we're going to get to it all. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll be back.
I state was a leading indicator of what liberals will be trying to do across the country. They're trying to do right now. And I fought against long odds in a deep blue state. But I was a severely conservative Republican governor.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, It's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift,
John Zerlag, the city manager of Troy, joins us now.
Oftentimes, it's important to just, you know, not when someone slams you, not to actually make a slam back, because I really believe that hostility is a sign of weakness, but essentially to just set the record straight. It's important for the voting public and the businesses to know what the facts are of the matter. So if someone builds a false argument and then draws a conclusion, itself becomes faulty because the underpinning rationale is faulty.
First Shift with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
They're chanting, we're standing right in the middle of this rally, and they're saying that they're tired of corporate greed. They've had it.
Absolutely. I'm part of the 99% that's fed up with the egregious behavior of the 1%. From now on, we occupy all streets.
The movement is resonating with cities across the country. It began as that Occupy Wall Street effort.
The movement to Occupy Wall Street coming to Detroit.
The world will not change unless the way we talk about it changes.
We can just get that message across. It'll hopefully start some change.
Dozens of UAW members showed up to support the protesters.
We're losing our homes. We're losing our jobs. Union workers are facing a terrible time at the bargaining table, and workers who don't have unions are even worse off.
Time for Occupy Detroit to Occupy First Shift.
And indeed it is that time, 7:50 each and every day. And Stephen Boyle with Occupy Detroit joins us now. We've got a whole menu of things to discuss this morning. Stephen, first of all, let me welcome you to First Shift. I appreciate you taking the time to visit with us today.
Hey, thanks, Tony. I'm glad to be here with you.
Well, that's great. Great. All right, we've got, again, like I said, we've got a whole menu of things to talk about, including some rallies Friday for DDOT. What's going on in regard to that?
We're going to be rallying regarding the shutdown of service from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock. Actually, I was going through the announcement and the bulletins. Almost bring it back, and some routes it's going to be closing down as early as 7 and 8 o'clock at night. And then some routes will be about midnight, and then they're going to be reopening back up at about 4 o'clock. This is going to impact an awful lot of people. Anybody trying to work night shift, if you're working at a restaurant, working for the hospitals, we've got an awful lot of problem with that.
You know, Stephen, and what I'm curious about is, why are they not publicizing? I mean, listen, it's bad enough news to begin with, but to not be forthcoming about it and then to basically, you know, hide and in a way, maybe in plain sight, but, you know, to not come forward with this information and give a lot of lead time. I mean, these are things that people need, you know, time to counteract, you know, whether they can find a ride or something. But, you know, a lot for some people, this means they're out of a job.
Yeah, and the funny thing is the Department of Transit has actually closed their doors, not answered their phones, said they were going to be present for meetings and hold meetings, and have been a no-show at all of those in the past month.
Really?
Yeah, we've got a total disregard of actually serving the public when it comes to hearing people. Now they're staging four public hearings at two times in two different locations, basically. The question is are these public hearings going to turn into what they had back in 2009 when they had hundreds of people come out? Everybody spoke their mind, and they still shut down services. And they're continuing to press service that they heard in 2009 that they shouldn't take away weekend service. And here they are turning around and taking huge cuts out of it.
Now, you know, they're of course, going to say, hey, listen, we appreciate your concern and everything you have to say. We just don't have the money to do it, and we don't have the buses, and we can't get them fixed, and we don't have the drivers. They're going to have a lot of reasons. All they're going to tie it all to cash, Stephen. And how do we counteract that?
Well, right now they're looking at this regional transit authority, and they're hoping that by placing it out there that some of the situations with the localized services get changed. That's still out there in the future, and right now they're sitting here taking service away from people immediately. I'm not sure exactly what they're going to have to do to bring the budget around, but here's one problem. You've got Persons Brinkerhoff as the designated contractor for transit. Then they turn around and subcontract. And then that subcontractor has persons that it's going to contract out. So you're dealing with all kinds of management funding that has to happen out of the small budget that they're able to put together for it.
Yeah, well, again, this is problematic, and we need to. So where will these rallies take place?
The rallies are going to be at Northwest Activity Center and also at Wayne County Community College, Detroit, down at Connor. At the Wayne County Community College location is at 5901 Connor at I-94. The Northwest Activity Center is at 18100 Myers, and both are in Detroit. Again, the times are going to be from 11 o'clock in the morning to 1 p.m., and then again in the evening from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m. Now, the way that these have happened in the past, don't be surprised if the times kind of get blown out because people would like to talk about their grievances with them. The problem is making sure those people that are standing there representing the transportation department understand they are the ones being addressed. And if there's no representative there from the contracting agencies, then we have a real problem because if they're just going to hand off responsibility, then we need the person responsible, the organization's responsible, to be present and listening.
That makes a great deal of sense. All right, and I don't want to run out of time. I also understand that there's going to be rallies to talk about some of the schools that are facing shutdown as well. I'm assuming that would be in the city of Detroit.
Yes. We've got a number of schools that are closing. Detroit City High School, Detroit Day School for the Deaf, Jamison Academy, Kettering High School, West Wing, early morning here, Ludington Magnet Middle School, Mason Elementary, Mabry Elementary, Robeson Early Learning Center, Southwestern High School, and they're working on some charters also. So there's just a whole bunch of things going on. 15 schools were closed in 2011, and they're following up with more. And then they have reports from July that say the charters are underperforming the public schools.
yeah, well, you know, we were talking about Highland Park schools. I'm sure you've heard about the fiasco there, Stephen Boyle. And we turn around and we hear in that report that perhaps they can bring in a charter school to run the Highland Park schools, which, of course, is just ridiculous. But we'll set that aside for now. Go ahead.
Our protest is going to take place at Mabry Elementary, which is at 4410 Porter Street at Clark. That's going to start at noon and it'll run till 1 o'clock, and then the rally's going to move. And about 1:30, they're going to be over at Detroit Public Schools Administration in the New Center area at West Grand and Second.
Well, you know, again, one of the schools I heard you say was the Detroit School for the Deaf. Where did these kids go? They closed that school down. Where the hell do these kids go?
Well, the school, from my understanding, is dedicated to a environment where the deaf are together. There is learning for the hearing disabled in various locations around the school districts. The problem is they're going to be scattered and mainstreamed in, and this school provides them with a very focused program that doesn't have them in a mainstream environment.
Yeah, it's just not optimal, no question about it. Okay, we've got to take a quick break for the top of the hour. Stephen Boyle, thank you so much for your time. We do appreciate it. And we'll look forward to having Occupy Detroit on each and every day at 7:50. We have to take a quick break for the top of the hour. When we continue, Stephen Henderson with the Detroit Free Press will be my guest. Stay with us. This is First Shift. Lots more to come after we take this break.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're still looking at some delays out there because of the slippery roads. Some accidents, too. Southbound 35 after Joslin. That accident's still there. Square Lake Road eastbound between Woodward and Updike. That is closed due to an accident, plus a fuel spill. Some heavy traffic on 275 southbound from the 96-696 split all the way down to M14. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast on the National Weather Service today, a chance of rain and snow, a mix a little bit later on, mostly cloudy, a high near 40. Tonight, a chance of snow showers, mostly cloudy, a low around 32. And then tomorrow, another rain and snow mix, cloudy, a high in the upper 30s. Right now, it's overcast and 37 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift going up after this.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW.
Dearborn, Detroit.
Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Top story this hour, American correspondent Marie Colvin of the Sunday Times of London was one of two Western journalists killed in home Syria today. Just last night, she reported from the besieged city on CNN's Anderson Cooper 360 program. She said, it's obvious the Syrian government is targeting its own people despite its repeated denials.
Every civilian house on the street has been hit. The top floor of the building I'm in has been hit. In fact, totally destroyed. There are no military targets here.
The other reporter killed was French photojournalist Remy Oklik. The Treasury Department is set to unveil President Obama's corporate tax reform plan today. CNN's Christine Romans reports on some of the highlights.
The president wants to have a new framework for lowering the overall corporate tax rate from 35% to 28%. He also wants to eliminate dozens of loopholes and subsidies and all of these little goodies that companies can use to try to lower their tax rate from 35% on their own.
New Jersey Governor Chris Christie's name is often brought up as a possible Republican running mate in November, but there's one name Christie does not want to hear anymore, Warren Buffett. Christie tells CNN's Piers Morgan he's tired of hearing Buffett's argument that billionaires like him should have their taxes increased.
Well, he should just write a check and shut up, really, and just contribute, okay?
The four Republican presidential candidates debate tonight in Mesa, Arizona. CNN political editor Paul Steinhauser says it'll be interesting to see how Rick Santorum responds now that national polls show him to be the frontrunner.
Remember last time around in Florida, Mitt Romney went after Newt Gingrich after Gingrich's big victory in South Carolina. Romney was very successful in both those debates. We'll see how aggressive he is tonight in our debate. Also, how will Rick Santorum defend himself?
Tonight's debate will air on CNN radio and TV at 8 Eastern Time. Four more bodies have been found aboard the shipwrecked cruise liner Costa Concordia off the Italian coast. This raises the number of confirmed dead to 20, with 12 people still missing. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Wow, we have so much we have to do around the house.
Awesome! A reason to go to the Tool Mega Sale at Sears this week.
Fix the car.
Up to 50% off all Craftsman Mechanics tool sets. Check.
And the garage is a mess.
Up to 50% off Craftsman tool storage. Booyah!
And the faucet is... Honey, are you okay?
I'm just so excited.
Tackle your to-do list at the Tool Mega Sale starting this Friday only at Sears. Hundreds of Craftsman tools on sale in one place. Craftsman, trust in your hands. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
Last week, I started a meeting on my office computer, but had to go across town for another meeting. So Mike drove, and I was able to finish my WebEx meeting using the WebEx app on my smartphone. This is how you do business.
Connect online and share what's on your computer screen with others. Anytime, anywhere.
on their desktop, on their laptop, or mobile device. Go to WebEx.com right now and try WebEx free. WebEx from Cisco. WEBEX.com.
Your TV already talks to you depending on what programs you watch, but soon your controller may talk to you also. Google is working on a voice-activated system for its Google TV, which would let you talk the volume up and down, change channels, navigate through a saved program, and search for your favorite shows and movies, and it will give you voice feedback. Stock in Dell is having a tough morning. Dell reporting a 2% drop in sales to consumers over the holiday quarter as more people opted for tablet devices. Also crimping Dell sales, supply problems, especially a shortage of hard drives from Thailand hit with floods late last year. After reporting an 18% drop in profit and a downbeat forecast, Dell has been watching its stock fall about 5% in extended trading. Stock futures have been struggling all morning, but the struggle has now reached near break-even. S&P and NASDAQ futures each are down, but by less than a point, Dow futures cutting its earlier loss to just 2 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
We want to know. How do you use WebEx?
Last week, I started a meeting on my office computer, but had to go cross town for another meeting. So Mike drove, and I was able to finish my WebEx meeting using the WebEx app on my smartphone. This is how you do business.
Connect online and share what's on your computer screen with others. Anytime, anywhere. On their desktop, on their laptop, or mobile device. Go to WebEx.com right now and try WebEx free. WebEx from Cisco. WEBEX.com.
Thank you for calling Bank. Our banking hours are Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m.
You have reached Bank. Please call back during our normal business hours.
Welcome to hours on Monday through Friday.
It is after 5 p.m. We are closed. Hi, thanks for calling Ally Bank. How may I help you?
If your bank doesn't have a real person available 24/7, you need an ally. Ally Bank. No nonsense, just people sense. Member FDIC.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
How do our corporate tax returns look, Norman?
Not good, Mr. Fernwell. We owe $12.8 billion.
Impossible! I'm calling Bob from Accountants.
Good idea, sir. You think he can loan us the money?
Bob's a corporate tax whiz, Norman. Knows it all. State, federal. He'll straighten this mess out.
Meantime, I've got money to raise. How about I wash your car for you?
What?
I'll even buff it with a soft chamois. How's $175,000 sound?
Call Accountants for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountants, a Robert Half Company.
As you grab your time card and get ready to punch in, and as you dedicate another day to honoring your contract and your commitment to quality,
maybe it's time to reinforce to your boss and your elected representatives that they owe you for continuing to make their lives easier.
And that it is the work that you do that rewards them for the work that they do.
That it is because of you that progress is made.
That your sacrifices and your willingness to change help them grow.
And now it's time to honor what you have done.
And what you have done cannot be ignored any longer.
You will now raise your voice.
Your voice is now. First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And raise your coffee as well. It is Hump Day Wednesday, the 22nd day of February 2012. We've got a great hour of radio lined up for you. We've got a little open line time built in as well, so we'll look forward to that at the bottom of the hour at 8:35. In the meantime, we're going to turn to our guest here in just a moment. I want to remind you that if you'd like to join us at any time, as I have a guest, just be appropriate to the topic, and you're welcome to join us at 888-552-3595 via email, tony@thetonyshow.org, and last but not least on Twitter, at Tony Trupiano. Go ahead, give me my open, guys. We'll get going.
Editorial page editor and host of American Black Journal.
None of this is going to be able to be fixed without cash, which is something we don't have right now in Detroit and don't have that much in the state. But there are some big ticket things that need to be done that can't be done for free.
The Detroit Free Press's and First Shift Voice of Reason.
That's where you get into the idea that this is going to cost, and not just Detroiters, this is going to cost people all over the state of Michigan to try to dig Detroit fully out of this hole.
Mr. Stephen Henderson.
And we do welcome back to First Shift to our friend Stephen Henderson. Stephen, so great to have you back with us this week. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
Kind of difficult over the next 7 days to have a conversation if you're talking politics without talking, of course, about the primary. Interesting turn of events because the Democrats, you and I really haven't talked about this. The Michigan Democratic Party kind of lifted all the little rules and regulations that would normally come with this kind of event and said, well, listen, if the Republicans want to play that game, you know what? Let's go play that game. Guys, go out and play. And so lots of Democrats will be voting Republican next Tuesday.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's one of the real interesting dynamics that we could see next week that could change things, right? I mean, and what is it that Democrats are supposed to do here, right? Are they supposed to go and vote for the person that they think would be the most palatable Republican president, or are they supposed to go and make mischief and vote for somebody who they think just would have no shot against Barack Obama in the fall? I'm always pretty skeptical of exercises like that. I think, it's a little disrespectful toward the electoral process. I think in general, you should go vote in the party primary that you believe, you know, with beliefs that are closest to yours. But I think we could see next week this sort of surge of Democratic or independent voters coming into the Republican primary and messing up the results.
And messing up it would do indeed. But let's talk about, and listen, there's no lack of things to talk about when it comes to the candidates. And I want to start to, we'll get to Rick Santorum a bit later on. I'm not so concerned about dialoguing about him right now, but Mitt Romney has really taken the state by storm, and you and I are seeing many of the same things. One of the things we're seeing, of the many things we're seeing, is a very rabid attack on organized labor in the state of Michigan. Now, I get it. He's a Republican. He's made it clear that he's not pro-union. There's right. No question that's true. But why the rabidity? Why is he being so angry about it?
Well, I mean, and this goes to a much larger issue with Mitt Romney. I mean, I was shocked by the extent to which he focused on organized labor, which has not been a theme very much in this campaign anywhere else. But B, how nasty he was about it. I mean, he really over and over again has really made it seem like unions are to blame for all kinds of problems that I'm not sure I would even associate them with, issues that I wouldn't even necessarily associate them with here in Michigan or nationally. And I think the explanation is, again, that Mitt Romney is caught in a primary where, he's competing with these rabid, social movement conservatives, and he's gotta compete for votes against those folks, and that's the kind of stuff that plays with those voters. They are moved by the kind of attacks that he's throwing at organized labor. And the thing that bothers me about it, I guess, is that, you know, Mitt Romney, the governor, for example, was governor of a state that had labor unions all over the place. I mean, Massachusetts is not a right-to-work state by any means. And he had to work with labor unions to get stuff done, and he proved as governor of Massachusetts that he could do that, even though he's not a pro-union guy, even though he would prefer, as he says, that states are right to work. He knows how to work with organized labor, and so this is this sort of emerging theme over and over in this campaign, which is, who is Mitt Romney, and which Mitt Romney are you talking to at any given time? Are you talking to the guy who is governor of Massachusetts and help save the Olympics? Or are you talking to the guy who seems now desperate just to be president and is willing to say or do anything to win that? And that's bothersome. I don't like that in candidates. I don't really think voters like it in candidates, and it may explain some of the difficulty he's having pulling away from the rest of this field.
Well, okay, and I would, of course, agree with that. So it makes you wonder, and I'm just throwing it out there before we go to the phones. We got a call. It makes you wonder, the Detroit News, your counterparts to the Detroit News, endorsed Mitt Romney today. What do they, and I'm not asking you to answer for them, but, you know, at some level, maybe it's the field, because the field is not exciting. Let's just be honest about that.
Yeah, it's a very weak field.
It is a very weak field. So, you know, and I realize that as a newspaper editorial board, you can't write that. You can't say, well, we're endorsing Mitt Romney because, you know what, that's a weak field, and he's probably the best of the weakest of the, you know, of the strongest of the weakest of the candidates. You can't do that. But at but they didn't. They didn't. I mean,
yeah,
you know.
They were pretty enthusiastic. And I think, you know, again, I think that's what's weird about this. I have to be honest, before this campaign, and before, of course, the auto bailout, which is another real issue with Mitt Romney that I have, you know, if you look at Mitt Romney's record, there's nothing about it that would suggest he wouldn't be a good president. I mean, he's done a lot of very impressive things. Now, again, you know, you always have to also consider that, you know, I mean, he's done a lot of things that I don't necessarily agree with politically. I mean, I don't share a lot of his views or his values, but as a leader, and particularly as a leader, in situations where he doesn't have complete control, political control, he's been extremely competent. And so I don't think that if that's the person you're dealing with, I don't see why you wouldn't be able to sort of enthusiastically endorse him if you agree with his politics. The problem is that he spent a year or more running away from all of these things that he did as governor, and the record that he'd sort of put together for a very long time, to try to appeal to this Republican base that is just anti-tax, is anti-immigration, is anti-healthcare reform, which Mitt Romney is not, clearly. And so it's weird. I mean, I think it puts everybody, and it puts newspapers, you know, again, like you said, I can't speak for the Detroit News, but at the Free Press even, the difficulty in figuring out what to do in terms of endorsement in a race like this is compounded by his behavior. He should be head and shoulders above the rest of the guys in this field, quite honestly. I mean, there's no comparison with achievement or stature, but it's this duality that he's indulged that makes it very difficult to figure out what to do.
Well, you know, you're the first person, and you can only imagine how many people I have had this discussion with, both on air and off air, Stephen. Of course, I mean, this is what I do for a living. You are the first person, I think, to peg it perfectly. I mean, no, I'm serious. You have, you're right. He should be head and shoulders the guy. And he was, before he was a candidate, before he was the candidate, before they started campaigning, he was the guy. Then he opened his mouth.
Right. It makes you wonder, is he getting bad advice? Or is he really this unprincipled? I mean, he's saying things that absolutely contradict things that he's said before or things he's done before. I mean, the healthcare thing is a great example. I mean, how the way he's handled that has just been bungling.
And Stephen, it sounded like he didn't know this issue was going to come up.
Sure.
They had time to work that out. They had time to work out that answer. They knew that they were gonna throw this at them with everything they had. They knew this, and yet they didn't work it out in advance.
No, and there are any number of different answers he could give as to why, you know, his health care plan in Massachusetts was at least part of the basis for the national health care reform plan. You know, the most honest, frankly, is that, you know, an insurance mandate is a Republican idea. Republicans came up with it 20 years ago in response to the health reforms that Bill and Hillary Clinton were talking about enacting. And they said, well, look, we don't like what you want to do because that's more government control of health care. Let's let the market take care of it, but make the market rational. Make the market an even playing field and require that everybody have insurance so you don't have all these uninsured costs.
All right, Stephen, hold that thought. We got to get to the break. Mike and Clausen, I promise we'll get to your call right after the break. We just got a lot to do. We'll get to it, folks. Don't worry.
888-552-3595 is the phone number. Steven Henderson with the Detroit Free Press, my guest. This is First Shift. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're still getting some problems on the freeway. Southbound 35 after Joslin. Got a rollover accident in the left shoulder. Traffic is backed up to before Ortonville Road. Also, we're looking at some delays on northbound 75 before Rochester Road because of a disabled semi in the right lane. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, mostly cloudy, a chance of rain and snow showers, a mix there, a high near 40. Tonight, a chance of snow showers, mainly before midnight, mostly cloudy, a low around the freezing mark. Then Thursday, a chance of snow in the morning, then a chance of a rain-snow mix later, cloudy, behind the upper 30s. Right now, it's mostly cloudy and 37 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So, if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Recently on First Shift,
Charlie LaDuff joins us now from Fox 2 News.
You should be angry because, look, criminality or not, you know, I mean, Kwame Kilpatrick, he's not being convicted of anything in federal court, right? But you, at the very minimum, our leadership's been asleep at the wheel for decades. And we went along with it, and all of a sudden, the magic carpet ride stopped, we're broke, we got nothing left, and the leadership never changed. You know, you start to see the nice little deals they're making with the money, why we're running a deficit. There's plenty of money still flowing through here, and they don't understand the times that when the people have nothing, stop the merry-go-round, do it right, and let's get this thing fixed. It's time for normalcy. You know, no BSing like you're part of the people. You are part of the people. What about chauffeurs with his pension and his salary and his car and his gas is making $200,000?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have that peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after the hour, and my deepest apologies to Mike, who's been on hold now for a very long time. So we're going to go right to the phones. Again, if you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595. Mike in Clawson is on the air now. And, Mike, you're on the air with Steven Henderson. What's on your mind?
Good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, the phone kept cutting in and out. I knew you had problems. Anyhow, the big thing I wanted to mention, nobody seems to be talking about, Barack Obama is on that ballot, my friend.
Right.
And so, of course, I'm an absentee voter, and I've already voted, and I voted for Barack Obama. And, of course, we had a millage issue here in Clawson as well, but that notwithstanding, that would have been a perfect time, as far as I'm concerned, for the Dems to show support. I mean, forget the right side of the ballot.
The question, of course, and Mike, is that the Democrats are still going to have their caucus on May 5th. So whether you voted for Barack Obama on that partisan ballot, because the ballot actually you were using was absentee ballots. I'm a little fuzzy on. I'm not sure if they were partisan or not. But you're going to actually be asked when you go to the vote, if you want a Republican or a nonpartisan ballot. Stephen, am I getting that right? I think I'm getting that right.
Yeah, no, you have to declare which party you want to vote in. And actually, that information will be public now, so that the parties can see who voted in their primaries and can send those people letters and solicitations and things. So if you do, if you're a Democrat and you do go vote in the Republican primary, you should be prepared to be inundated with Republican solicitations for some time.
You're right. Be prepared indeed. So anyway, Mike, thanks for the call. That is why the caucus on May 5th is when the Democrats will choose the obvious choice, because there's nobody but the president running.
Right,
And that's where the confusion all came in. And, listen, some of this is just, the Democratic Party here in the state of Michigan taking a pot shot at the Republicans. They asked to keep the president off the primary ballot because the Democrats didn't want there to be a primary. They wanted everybody to do a caucus, which would have been a lot cheaper for the taxpayers.
Yeah.
And the Republican Party said, no, we're going to do it this way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the upside here is that, Michigan actually matters in the GOP primary. I mean, who would have thought, I don't know if you can think back to 4 years ago, all the trouble we got ourselves in by moving our primaries up so that we could be closer to Iowa and New Hampshire, and the national parties got mad and swiped some delegates from us. This time, we're at the end of February, and our primaries is as important as anybody else's has been. I think if Mitt Romney doesn't win this in particular, he's got real problems, and this will go well into the spring. So that's a good thing for our state, and I think for both parties, in fact, look, it does matter what people here think. We've gotten a lot of national attention. The auto industry has gotten a lot of national attention, which is a good thing in this race. So, we got a little bit to be thankful for.
Well, it's interesting, of course, as you are acutely aware, the General Motors announces last week a record profits. It just happens to be right in the middle of this primary fight.
Right.
And at the same time, Mitt Romney at the exact same time, on that day, was out, as we talked earlier on in the program, bashing unions and really an uncharacteristic manner. He was really out there beating them up. Even called out Bob King by name, which I thought was the fatal for him. If you're going to pick a fight, you don't pick the biggest army in the state to pick a fight with.
Yeah, I think that I continue to think that he's just making a horrible mistake with that. We had the chance to sit down and talk with Governor Romney last week through press editorial board. And I asked him about that. I said, you were governor of Massachusetts and worked with unions fine, and this is a union state. I'm not sure what the strategy is there, right? There are tons of voting Republicans in the state who belong to unions. So who is it that you're really appealing to? And of course he denied that he was bashing unions and, played up the fact that he worked with unions in Massachusetts when he was sitting and talking with us, but then went out later that day and trashed them again. And again, this gets back to that, the fundamental problem that we're having with him, I think,
which is that you just don't know who you're talking to anymore, which Mitt Romney is in the room with you. And I'm not sure that that plays not only in the Republican primary. I don't know how you play that in the fall. I think voters respect authenticity even when they disagree with you. But they're suspect of people who just say anything to get your vote.
And I do believe that they've got plenty of reasons to be suspect with Governor Romney. Let me ask you, Stephen, this question. A week from now, the primary will, of course, be over. There's a chance that we'll be talking, and I think a fairly good chance that we'll be talking about the result of Tuesday's primary next Wednesday
right.
morning. So here's the question. I don't in my heart believe Rick Santorum is going to carry the state of Michigan. But that doesn't, because Michigan is not a winner-take-all state, that doesn't mean that Rick Santorum can't end up with more delegates at the
right.
end of the day. Now, what
right.
happens, what in your opinion, what does that do to a Mitt? Not you know, Mitt Romney may win the state, but let's say he doesn't win the majority of delegates, or maybe not a large majority of delegates.
Right.
What does that do to his candidacy moving forward?
It just makes it more difficult. I mean, Super Tuesday is next up, and if you're Mitt Romney, that's where you want to, you know, deal the fatal blow to these other candidates. I mean, you want to make an impressive sweep of those states. I think if he either loses here or doesn't beat Rick Santorum very handily, it suggests that Super Tuesday is going to be more of a mishmash. Santorum will pick up some states, Gingrich may pick up some states, and Romney may pick up some states. And now we're going into the spring with a very unsettled field, and that's not good news for Romney generally, but it's also not good for the Republicans. I mean, they can't have this drag out through the spring and expect to get everything back together to challenge the president in the fall.
How terribly interesting this all is. I mean,
yeah,
you had said a little earlier, you know, that for those of you who can remember 4 years ago, how about those who can remember 4 weeks ago? Four weeks ago, we didn't think that this was even going to be a contested primary.
And now
it is. We've got about 20 seconds left, Stephen. Obviously, you know, as we work our way through this next week, all eyes really, because Arizona has now, Mitt Romney is now 20 points ahead in Arizona.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
world is looking at Michigan right now, are they not?
Yeah, no, everyone's paying attention, and you know, we're getting a lot of positive attention because of that. People are paying attention to our issues, and that's what we have always wanted to happen in presidential years for our state. So we're sitting pretty right now.
All right. Well, listen, we'll look forward to next Wednesday's conversation because I got to know it's going to be interesting. Stephen Henderson, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Stephen Henderson, again, with the Free Press. We'll take a quick break. And, again, we're open lines on the other side, 888-552-3595. We'll be back.
WDTW continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Got a problem on northbound 35 before Rochester Road. Got a disabled semi in the right lane. Traffic is backed up to 696. Southbound 35 after Johnson. We've got a rollover accident in the left shoulder. Gawker delays. Cause people to back up to Ortonville Road. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, a chance of rain showers before noon, then a chance of a rain-snow mix later. Mostly cloudy, a high near 40 tonight. A chance of snow showers early. Mostly cloudy otherwise, a low around 32. And then tomorrow, a chance of a rain-snow mix. Cloudy, a high in the upper 30s. Right now, it's mostly cloudy and 37 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift going up after this.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Brandon Jessup, the CEO of Michigan Forward.
If this came easy, it wouldn't be worth it. And to fight a law that's as erroneous as this, that stinks the way this law does, the law that puts dictators over communities, somebody's got to stand up to that. And we're glad Michigan Forward, ASPE Council 25, the Michigan Education Association, we're all glad to stand up and say, hey, we said something about this law, and we put it on the ballot for justice.
justice to decide on which way the thing goes.
First Shift with Tony Trio
on 1310 WDTW.
In these times of cold, health care austerity, it reaffirms one's faith in humanity to learn that many hospitals are now going the extra mile to provide top-quality care for all. For all super-rich people, that is. So rich that they can buy their way into amenities units that have quietly been built into secluded sections of many hospitals. It's not medical care that they're peddling to an elite clientele, but the personal pampering that the super-rich expect in all aspects of their lives. I was supposed to be in Buenos Aires last week taking tango lessons, a Wall Street executive explained matter-of-factly to a New York Times reporter, but unfortunately I hurt my back, so I'm here with my concierge. A hospital with a concierge? Yes, this one's called 11 West, an exclusive wing of New York's Mount Sinai Medical Center. We pride ourselves on getting anything the patient wants, beamed 11 West, director of hospitality. If they have a craving for lobster tails and we don't have them on the menu, we'll go out and get them. From New York to L.A., hospitals that draw huge subsidies from us taxpayers and often are so overcrowded that regular patients are lucky to get a gurney in the hallway have set aside entire floors for $2,400 a day deluxe suites. They come with butlers, five-star meals, marble baths, imported bed sheets, special kitchens, and other amenities for swells who have both insurance and cash to burn. This is Jim Hightower saying, not only is it repugnant for the plutocratic elite to pervert health care into a luxury commodity, but their very effort to do so splits asunder America's essential uniting principle of a common good. To push for a national policy that treats health care as a fundamental human need for all, contact Physicians for a National Health Program at pnhp.org.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
You got the number. Give me a call. 35 minutes after 8 o'clock. I want to again thank Stephen Henderson. I just love that guy. You know, when we first asked him, he's been with us now 6 months or so. When I first asked him on the show, you know, I told him I didn't always agree with him. And I think I've got to refine that. We don't agree on education issues. And the Free Press did endorse Governor Rick Snyder. Beyond that, I don't know that I have any problem. In fact, I find Stephen Henderson to be one amazing individual, extremely, obviously he's extremely intelligent. I would kill for that kind of intelligence. Just an amazing guy, really an amazing guy. Jeff sends me an article yesterday, and I'm reading this article, and I'm starting to kind of do that internal chuckle you do when you read something that's like, of course, you know, it's just like making sense. The article's titled "Fight Over Defense Budget." Has familiar ring. I'm just going to read a small bit of it. It says, as Republicans and Democrats drew the battle lines last week for a year-long two-front war over the 2013 defense budget, their attack plans looked familiar. Both parties are using last year's political battles to try to gain an advantage in 2012 in the fight over defense spending. All right, so that's about all I'm going to get into. But as we go on, we do know that the Democrats have cut about $500 billion. That's $500 billion. That's what I said, $500 billion in defense cuts come January of next year. Do you want to guess how the Republicans responded to that? Anybody? Anybody? Show of hands, please. Anybody? They don't want them. They don't want to cut $500 billion from the defense budget. In fact, they don't want to cut the defense budget at all. So the Democrats are saying, well, okay, that's fine. Then why don't we raise taxes to pay for this non-cut? And the Republicans don't want to do that either. So, Jeff, here's what I'm trying to figure out. Republicans don't want to cut the defense budget. but they want to cut money from the overall, the general budget. So that's one. They don't want to raise taxes, but they don't want to cut the defense budget. So if you don't raise taxes and you don't cut the defense budget, then how do you pay for that $500 million in cuts that you don't make?
So they basically want to attack what, poor people, seniors, and education, so they can keep fighting wars and not raise taxes.
Yeah, and by the way, I forgot to mention that part. We're not fighting in Iraq anymore, are we? No, Jeff, we're going to be leaving Afghanistan soon, too. I wonder how much money that would save us, you think. Huh. So we don't actually need all that money to fight wars right now, do we?
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, okay. I'm just trying to figure it out. Huh. Okay, well, so basically, again, the Republicans just want it. Let me get it. They want it their way and only their way. I'm going to go with that. Listen, folks, you know, do we want to cut the fence? If you can, you should. You would like to think that, you know, defense can actually be a volunteer thing.
Well, see, and that's the thing, you know, they're going to spin it like you're taking jobs from the soldiers and the troops. But we talked about it this morning. That's not the case.
No. According to one prominent Republican, he said, I don't believe this budget incurs unacceptable risk. I'm prepared to say that the sequestration could pose unacceptable risk. Let's use really big words. These two parties, let's just be honest about it, have no desire to work together. They certainly don't want to work with this president. They do not, folks, they do not in any way, shape, or form want to admit that the other side could be right. And that's true. That's true of both sides. Okay, I'm with you. I got it. We're good. No problem. With all that said, when does what's right for the people begin to matter? That's all I'm asking. All right, we'll come back and says that some other time, because I really don't get. I just don't get if you can save $500 billion and do it responsibly, which is what this would do. You should.
Oh my goodness, unbelievable! I love the reaction though. I mean, I love that people are listening to the show. But already, did you call for a weaker military? I don't remember saying anything about that either.
I would never call for, and in fact, this doesn't call for a weaker military. What it does is it responds to the lack of aggression, U.S. aggression in the world. In fact, I want to remind people, I have one son that served in the United States Navy, very proud of my son's service in the U.S. Navy. You're not going to find a more pro-military Democrat anywhere in the state of Michigan. There's not a guy. I am not a dove. I'm a hawk. I believe that we need to be as aggressive as we possibly should be. I love being proactive when it comes to military force. So whoever's suggesting that is barking up the wrong Democrat, because that is so not me, Jeff. I know I don't talk a lot about military, but I just did. I think I just made it clear. There is not a more pro-military Democrat anywhere in the state of Michigan.
I'm just saying that's the spin that conservatives will have, that it's a weaker military. That's the word that they're going to use. And really what we're saying is there's no reason to be spending as much as you've been spending. You can still have the same strength. Just bring them home.
No question. All right, let's take a couple phone calls. A weaker military. So it's all about money. You know, Jeff, really quickly, is that it? So it's about the amount of money we spend? Because if that's it, dude, I can take that scenario. I mean, I can take that scenario and twist it to fit a lot of different situations.
Good point. We're going to have a weaker education system, a bunch of dumb kids running around because you're cutting spending on education?
Must be. God forbid. Okay, 888-552-3595. Let's go to Phil in Detroit. Phil, thanks for joining us on First Shift this morning. What's on your mind?
Tony. Good. I've been listening to you guys since I stopped listening to Bill Press because I had to listen to you guys, and I'm glad you guys are local. I'm glad you're available for us.
Well, thank you, Phil. I appreciate that.
Question is, one point so many billions of dollars have been taken from the school system, yet Highland Park won't even be able to pay their teachers this Friday.
Right.
Can you explain that to me?
Can I explain to you why they're not going to get paid on Friday?
Well, if the governor can take all this money away from the school system, yet our schools I guess it does not make sense to me.
Well, Phil, for a good reason, Phil. Let me explain what happened. When the governor cut funding of over $400 per pupil last year and basically gave that money to corporations as some kind of gift certificate, because that's exactly what he did. When he took that money away from schools, especially in poorer districts like the city of Detroit and the city of Highland Park, it affected them much more severely because they were already on the verge, on the edge. They don't care about districts like that. They want to get rid of public school systems altogether. So this is their way of privatizing the school system, and they're going to start with the poorest districts. The first thing that they said, Phil, yesterday was maybe they need a charter school to come in and run the Highland Park schools because they'd be able to fund it the quickest. They're trying to get rid of the unions, Phil. That's what this is all about. They're trying to get rid of the teachers' unions. That's what it's all about.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I know. It's very daunting, but it's the truth.
And yet they told this emergency manager to stand down. What is that all about?
Well, because the governor had to do things his way, had to be the rogue, cowboy. Somebody challenged it in court, and a judge said, yes, absolutely. The meeting in private is illegal. The way you appointed this guy is illegal, so he must stand down. Well, now the people in Highland Park are saying, wait a minute, he stands down, then the state can't give us money, now we can't pay our teachers.
Right.
Now they want this emergency manager back. So what in essence the governor did was create a need for something they didn't need to begin with.
Right, right.
That's what happened.
Well, now the picture is a lot clearer now. One more question.
Sure,
about
Phil.
The bridge, the maroon situation.
Yeah.
Was part of that gateway the responsibility of the state of Michigan, and part was the Maroon family? Was that the agreement?
No, that was not the agreement. And thank you for your call, Phil. That was not the agreement. I'll explain it to you, and thank you for a call. There is a call for an added bridge. That there's one that's needed. We're not going to get rid of the Ambassador Bridge. We needed another bridge. And the Maroon family wanted to build it because they own the Ambassador Bridge. They wanted to own the new one. Obviously, it made a billionaire of that family, so there's some financial... I'm just saying, there's a financial incentive to do that. You know, the argument could easily be made that the Maroon family knows how to run a bridge, and they've done it well, and they've done it with union labor for years. That Kevin Moore was on this show a couple months back, talked about how great the Maroon family has been to the Teamsters workers that work for the bridge, and there are many. So anyway, the state then says, no, we don't need a private enterprise building the bridge. The country of Canada offered to pay Michigan's half so that it wouldn't cost anything because they knew that the state was broke. And this was under Governor Granholm. So they said, no, we'll pay for half. Unfortunately, couldn't get, before the governor, Governor Granholm left, couldn't get the legislature to agree to do it. So that's why we're at there now. The two different, though, Phil, two different categories here. The bridge people, the Maroon family, one entity, the state, the other. Two totally separate entities. Hopes that clarify. Stephen Monroe, you're up next. Everybody stay where they're at. 888-552-3595. I am Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift. We'll be back.
With Tony.
You're calling Mitt Romney a liar.
Well, you seem shocked by it. Yes. This is a man whose staff created the PAC. His millionaire friends fund the PAC. He pretends he has nothing to do with the PAC. It's baloney. He's not telling American people the truth.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. You are connected to the internet. I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org.
www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Dr. Stephen Zunis. Israel has been unafraid to speak publicly about their dissatisfaction with Iran and their willingness to attack that country. Well, how real is this threat, and how should we as the United States be responding to it?
Well, it's certainly a concern. Many people are skeptical that Israel would actually attack Iran because it could set loose a whole bunch of problems. It could cause oil prices to skyrocket and throw the world into a serious recession. But the main thing is that an attack would not end Iran's nuclear program. They've been sort of moving along slowly up till now, but if attacked, they would almost certainly pull out the non-proliferation treaty and go Manhattan Project style all out to create an atomic weapon. And so it would actually make it more likely that Iran would get atomic bomb and end Israel and America's nuclear monopoly in the region.
First ship with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW. Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Triano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. We're going to get ready to wrap things up for this Wednesday program, but we've got a couple more calls to get to, a couple more stories I want to get to as well. So we're going to move quickly. I do want to thank Stephen Monroe for patiently waiting online. Steve, you're up on First Shift. What's up, my friend?
Hi, Tony. How are you?
Good, thanks. What's on your mind?
Well, the driver of our debt is these entitlement programs and the scope and size of government pertaining to them. That's the biggest driver of our debt. 50% of our federal budget goes towards these programs. We need to restructure them to make them viable in the future.
All right, and so when the president signals that he's willing to do that and the Republicans still don't take that seriously, how are we supposed to deal with that, Steve?
Come on, Tony. You know that's just lip service. That's just lip service. When you get behind back doors, you know darn well, unfortunately, Democrats have no intention of touching these entitlements, none whatsoever.
Yeah, but, you know, that's Steve, that's just a, you know what, you and I have always been very respectful to each other, so I and I'm not going to be disrespectful now, but I'm going to say that's just a talking point. I'm telling you the fact. The fact was the president has stated publicly many times that he is willing, to the chagrin of many Democrats, willing to open up this discussion and to negotiate entitlement reform. Yet the Republicans continue to say that they can't seem to move the argument. Why can't they move it? Where's the discussion? How come they don't have these what's that?
If the discussion is on taxes, you guys want to raise taxes.
Okay. Well, it's called a compromise, Steve.
I think 35% for the top bracket is plenty of federal income tax to pay. I think it's too much. Now, if you want to close loopholes, that's a different discussion. But 35% is too much, Tony.
All right. Well,
we're not competitive in the world.
And we know that not everybody's paying 35%. We know that a lot of people are paying capital gains tax. Come on, Steve. We know that a lot of people in that tax bracket are paying 15% or less, a la Mitt Romney.
The money that's already been taxed, Tony. It's already been taxed once. and it's been taxed again through the retained earnings of the company. It's been taxed multiple times. You know, 15% on tax money twice over? Come on!
And they still have a disgusting amount of money. The point is, if you have the ability to contribute more, Steve, you should pay more. I've already said, listen, I pay my 35%. No question they're taking theirs out of mine. You don't hear me complaining about it. Yes, in order to have this discussion about entitlements, they have to come to the table and have a real conversation about taxes.
And we've posted it on the Facebook page before, Tony, where in times of great economic strides for the country, it not only has capital gains tax been much higher, but income on the highest earners as well. But maybe a Republican was in office back then.
In fact, and Steve knows this, historically, taxes are at the lowest level they've been since the 50s, and he knows that. Very quickly, because we don't have a lot of time left, let's go to James. Welcome, James, to First Shift. James, a pleasure to have you on the show this morning. What's on your mind?
Yeah, love your work, Tony.
Thank you.
My question is, when the Democrats controlled all three houses of the legislature, and they wanted to get things passed, they could barely get anything passed because of filibustering. This is on the national level, I know. But now on the state level, it seems like the Republicans can get everything they want passed. Why aren't the Democrats filibustering them on the
state? Because they don't have the supermajority. That's such a great question, James. And on the national level, when we're talking about the House of Representatives and the Senate, they had a supermajority so that they could, they did not have a supermajority in the Senate, which is where all the filibustering was happening. And because of that, and we were just one vote away from having that supermajority. And at the state level, they do have a supermajority. Therefore, they don't have the fear of a filibuster.
Wow.
Yeah, it was one person, literally, James, one person away from making that difference. You got to wonder, and I appreciate the call, James, you've got to wonder, what would this country look like today with that one person? One person. All right, let's wrap it up phone call-wise with Jim in Plymouth. Jim, a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks for punching in with us this morning. What's on your mind this morning?
Thanks, Tony. I appreciate taking the call. Well, I just wanted to get on a dig about the entitlements. I've been arguing and complaining for so long. What they ought to do is, quit taking the surplus from Social Security to pay down the deficit. If they're really serious about managing the economy of the country, leave that Social Security money alone and get down to how to manage that deficit. And one of the ways would be to look at the profits of the corporations. I'm sorry, but when you look at somebody that makes $500 million for an oil company, how much of that's being taxed, I don't know. And as far as the Michigan legislature goes and the supermajority, it goes back to, have the people had enough, and will they come out to vote in October or November? I mean, this is getting to be, you got a legislature in Lansing taking away everybody's rights, and they would have done the same thing in Congress if we didn't have control of the Senate.
Well, there's no question. Again, Jim, I appreciate your call. Glad that you got through and had a chance to express yourself. There's no question that's true. And, again, we just have to keep fighting. What Jim said, most appropriate. All the other things he said that were great. The one thing that matters is voting in 2012, November. Actually, it starts next Tuesday in a lot of communities, whether it's a millage, whether you have a state rep in Auburn Hills, up in the 51st in Genesee County. You have a couple state reps, both of those seats. One of them will definitely be a Democrat, the Auburn Hills seat, but the Genesee seat can be Democrat if we get enough people out to vote next Tuesday. Steve Losey was on with us earlier in the show. I recommend you go to the podcast page a little later on today and listen to that interview, and then let your friends know in that part of the world that you want them to support Mr. Losey. I want to close today's show with a... Maybe I'm opening up a can of worms, but it just really grates at me. Jeff sends me just a small little article yesterday, two small paragraphs. Lawmaker chides colleagues for supporting Girl Scouts is the title. It says, in a letter to fellow Republicans, Indiana State Rep. Bob Morris, the state rep, called the Girl Scouts a radicalized organization that supports abortion and promotes homosexual lifestyles. That's according to the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. Moore said he did some research on the internet and found allegations that the Girl Scouts are a tactical arm of Planned Parenthood, that they show that they allow transgendered females to join just like any real girl and encourage sex. The internet, State Rep Morris, is a big place. Okay, listen to me now. It's okay. Just relax. Take a deep breath. It's a big place. And you need to maybe look in other locations besides the first one that you run across that kind of says what you want it to, okay? All I'm saying, Mr. State Representative, is you got it wrong, you dingbat. Oh, sweet Jesus. What we put up with, us Democrats. All right, we're gonna get out of here for today. Tomorrow, David Hecker, Carla Swift. We got a great show. And I appreciate everybody being with us. Anthony and Jeff, thank you so much. I got to run. I got places to be today. As always, folks, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Still looking at the disabled semi in the right lane, northbound 75 before Rochester Road. Traffic is backed up to 696 and not moving that fast. Southbound 75 at Jocelyn. So that rollover accident in the left shoulder causing delays back to Ortonville Road. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast on the National Weather Service. Today, a chance of a rain-snow mix, mostly cloudy. Otherwise, a high near 40. Tonight, chance of snow showers early, then mostly cloudy. Otherwise, after midnight, a low around 32. And then tomorrow, a chance of snow showers in the morning, then a chance of a rain-snow mix later, cloudy, a high in the upper 30s. Right now, it's mostly cloudy and 37 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. Identify.